This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR!
Oh, hello, it's Richard Herring here with my sidekick.
Hello, it's Luli.
It's Luli. I'm just eating a piece of chewing gum and it's quite a big bit.
I see.
And everyone else thought I should take it out. I wanted to keep it in, so I've put it on the desk. It's left a little saliva mark there, will be there long after I'm gone.
How many chewing gums is that? 16 chewing gums?
That is nearly a pack of chewing gums. That's about 8 chewing gums. I like to have a lot all in one go. I started with 2 and then it went up and now I can't. I now need like 7 or 8 in there. The little extras. That's what I go for.
I think this is a sort of information that the listeners will be really pleased to hear about.
I think they will. We've got all sorts of stuff coming up in the show. We will explain what that is after we have heard from The Underworld and their song, Born Slippy. Do you remember it in Trainspotting? It was good, wasn't it? Remember?
Yeah,
that's where this is from. That's where I remember it from.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders, ripping you a new ear hole.
Here we are, and it's very exciting. We're kind of up in the air. We were a bit down last week, but now we're back up. And I just found a piece of broken glass on the desk in front of me. So they're trying to kill me here.
We've got a little birthday in the studio.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
We?
It's my birthday. No, I'm 25 years old today.
It's Amanda, our producer's Amanda. Birthday. Big shout. Can we have a big shout out?
She's bowing behind the glass. You know, in a way, you know, a producer's doing their job when you don't hear anything about them. So Amanda is not doing a very good job because things go wrong all the time.
Richard, you're
she's so rubbish. Happy
she's
birthday.
She's brilliant. I think she's
how
brilliant.
How old are you today, Amanda? 2 years old, she is.
She's that's giving you she's the fingers.
2 years old. Good. So, yeah, we've got a very exciting show coming
is
up.
It?
That is quite a lot of food you've got
I've
there.
I cracked open my lunch. Well,
you could have done that during the Born Slippy Underworld. You've got like a big Tupperware container full of rice.
It's brown rice with a tomatoey kind of...
That looks like a huge amount of food.
Yeah, it's too much, but I'm not going to eat it all. It's just the leftovers. Okay. So I scrape them into one
good
thing. Well, I mean, Tupperware's not sexy at all, is it? So I'm bringing in some Tupperware. That is not
given
sexy.
You've told me not to eat my chewing gum during the show.
Yeah, but I'm just here for the ride.
Okay, fair enough. It is our penultimate show on FUBAR Radio. We've been ousted, been fired for bad behaviour. It's because of you last week talking about Robert Webb's teeth. Robert Webb has come in to FUBAR and said, if Lou Sanders works for more than 2 more weeks, I will take you fuckers off the air. We're moving on.
We're moving on to pastures new.
Well, that sounds like we've got somewhere to go. we've decided...
We're going to the park,
we're going to the Edinburgh Fringe, and both of us have a lot of work to do for that, and that is obviously the main reason we're going. So so this is only 2 more shows to go.
Goodbye,
but you know, don't worry, you've still got old John Gaunt, Justin Lee Collins and all the others will be keeping you company. So it's you know, it's not so bad.
I've got rice.
I've got rice coming out your face. And so coming up on the show, more from Lou Sanders. Have you got any take a books?
Have I ever? I've got 3 of the best for you.
Fantastic. So we've got don't use them all up this week, save a couple for next week. Mm. We've got What's in the Bag? Have you got a What's
you've
in the Bag sorted
seen
out?
Yet.
It's Amanda's 45th birthday today, so happy we found out 45 years old today. And that'd be embarrassing if I'd got that bang on the nose. It was a joke age, but she's going, yeah, how did you know I was 45?
Hey, Rich, I've got What's in the Bag. Also, rap battles. Can we do rap battles?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do a rap battle. I'd be very good at that. We've got, I don't know, we probably might do some Dickie's Diary, Richard Herring's blog. Might do, I don't know, I haven't got anything prepared.
I read your Metro column the other day.
Oh, yeah.
This is bloody crazy reading this. I mean, I see enough of this guy. I'm reading this column.
I might read it out for you. I'll read that out. I'll read out last week's Metrocom. I could read out next week's Metrocom as well, though I might have done it already.
And I saw you on the television.
I've been on TV. Let's not blow off everything in this first link. We're just saying what's coming up.
Oh, it's just talking about you.
Our guest is Miranda Sawyer, a writer and broadcaster.
I like her.
Nicknamed Bunny Sawyer. She was born... I won't say that. I was going to say when she was born. She's the same age as I am because she was at university at the same time as me. I met her at university.
Did you?
She used to be called Bunny Sawyer, yeah. Well, she was a friend of my friend, Tim Richardson. So we'll talk about him probably mainly. And she's a lovely, lovely lady and a fantastic journalist. So we've got that coming up. We're going to be talking about... I'll tell you how I smashed my iPhone later on, and we'll be asking you to send me stories.
You just said, I'll tell you how I smashed my iPhone later on, and the producer's nodding, going, yeah, please.
It's exciting. It's very exciting. That's the most exciting. So when I tweeted about it, I said, that's tomorrow's blog sorted out, and someone said, oh, sounds like an exciting blog. And I said, that is literally the most exciting thing that's happened to me in 2014. I fell over. We'll talk about it later.
No, it isn't, because you went abroad and did a show.
You don't know how much I love my iPhone, and when you hear the circumstances, you're gonna have to listen. I'm gonna tell the story. I'm gonna tell it in full. It's gonna be a long story.
Remember
it'll use up
mugged?
a whole. I got mugged. That's a different story. That was a different iPhone. So you know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, because the same thing that happened to me when I broke the iPhone and when I got my iPhone stolen is that for a second I'm like, no, and then within about 30 seconds you're thinking,
get the new
latest iPhone.
Yeah.
So you get excited about it. I was thinking, you know, there's nothing else like that. But actually, I think it's pretty much that's the same as my wife. If my wife were to die or break, I would go, oh no, and then I'd go, hey.
But if she was broken, you'd have to
fresh
keep her
new
around.
Wife.
Just broken.
I could put her in the attic while I had my new wife downstairs. That's what I would do.
Look at my tiny spoon. I'm eating rice with this tiny spoon.
Can we not
get
you a proper fork? Because eating rice with that tiny spoon is going to take a long time. And so I don't know if anything else is coming up, but you know, we'll have all sorts of things to talk about.
Hey, we've got, he said... Well, I'll tell you what, a bit of a twist on he said, she said. I've run out of things that stupid things people said, so I've got things that I've said.
Oh, good.
So you're going to be able to guess
then
it's me.
Then I have to find... Yeah, well, that's not so good. But that will be fun. Yeah, it's been a very exciting action-packed week. We'll talk later about me being on Dave. I'm going to be on Dave again after this show.
Oh,
I'm being whisked
nice.
Off. Thank God for the Dave
whisked
channel.
Off. Yeah, go on.
Keeping me alive and keeping me fed. I'm doing Alan Davies' new show on Dave, recording it after this. There's a cab waiting outside for me. Right now.
I mean, the waiting time
would
be ridiculous.
but
that big as...
But it's just like, stupid, it's just loads of chatting, isn't it? I just keep fucking chatting.
Chat. Like a couple of old women on a bus.
It's just sat around chatting about stuff, seeing how that goes. So all very exciting. I don't know if we got any... Did we get any emails in last week, Amanda?
Come off it, mate.
We'll read out some of the emails we got from last week. And we'll be looking later on. We will be looking... And the news. Do you want to do... Are you? What's in that rice? What's the extra ingredients? Is it chicken?
Oh, no. Fake meat.
Yeah.
Tomatoes,
like meat.
Peas, onions, garlic, all the good stuff, you know? Very nice for me to eat. Yes, please.
What was the... Who were you parodying there? Which racial group were you? It was racist, but I'm trying to work out who was racist.
No,
was it racist against all the races? Was that like an...
Oh, it was racist against... if you think it's racist, that says more about your mind than it does about mine.
Okay. Well, it just sounded like every...
I'm just enjoying my peas and mint.
So you were quite controversial with Robert Webb. Robert Webb was our best guest we've ever had.
Do you know
no offence to Miranda Sawyer, we haven't had her yet.
He was totally ignoring me at all times. I think he thought I was the runner. And I was like, oh, blimmin' heck. Like, he totally disregarded me. So then I was like, Robert, mate. I think I did a lovely interview.
People want
to know questions about his teeth.
It was good. The stuff about his teeth was a highlight.
Thank God.
So
I'm
you're saying he had baby teeth. Did you say that? You'd say that? Or just, was it me?
I mean,
more or less what you said?
He did have baby teeth. His real ones never come through. He didn't know where they were.
He was very game.
He's looking for them everywhere.
I thought he was lovely. I actually thought he was a very charming man.
I did by the end of it.
Yeah. So he won you round, which is good.
He won round, but at the start of it, I was like, I see you playing this game.
I think it was just, you know, we haven't seen each other for a while. I do know him a little bit. It's nice to catch up.
Well, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have gone in quite so hard.
I've never questioned his strange little teeth. But, you know, that is...
Listen,
it hasn't held him back in his career.
You keep me around to ask the hard-hitting questions. Help me to help.
Believe me, it was the highlight of my last week. I think they edited something out of that interview last week. Amanda edited something out? Or did you get? Yes, she did.
What did she edit out?
I called someone a cunt and she edited it out.
We're
allowed to say anything on this radio station unless it gets a little bit close to home. Close to home. Just because I called Lou a cunt, that does not.
No, but you were right, though.
I was
you
right.
Called...
Whoever it was, Mr. X.
You kept...
So before we get into more trouble, what are they going to do? Fire us? Great, we don't have to come in next week.
We fired ourselves.
You can't, we're indestructible. Let's play The Cure. There's some nice records on this week. It's P3, turquoise coloured record, and it's The Cure with Love Cats.
Do you think they can hear me eating?
I think so. I was going to pick up my chewing gum again, but I put that bit of glass in it, so maybe I should move those two things further apart.
I'm having
apart
a great time.
Well, good, this is good. We've already been going for 13... Oh, it's only 13 minutes.
I'm getting my lunch done. Cool.
I just saw Barry from Watford, who was in just before us, and Angelusi Epimuffioff. Doesn't dress up as Barry from Watford for the show. I'm very, very upset about it. Move like cagey tigers, oh, we couldn't get closer. Oh, that was loud. Was that just in my head? God, I forgot to put the things up. I was so overcome by the loud drums in the middle of that. It sounded like Al Murray had come in, banging drums. Phil Collins, it sounded like a gorilla had come in. So, good. Is this the rap battle? Because I'm losing. Have you had a nice week? I'll talk for a bit.
Lou's
got a tiny spoon full of dinner. And
The theory is if you have a small spoon, you don't eat as quickly, but it's not really working.
I've got a massive spoon. I've got a spoon the size of my head. But that also works for not eating too much because it's too big to fit into my mouth. I've had a very exciting week.
Hang on, no one asked.
They're going to hear all about it anyway.
No one else.
They're going to hear all about it. I have been running a lot. I've lost 10 kilograms since the beginning of the year, which is 22 pounds.
That's amazing.
So I've hit that. Still ridiculously overweight, getting there.
What's a ridiculously overweight man?
I was today, I think, this morning. I ate some chocolate yesterday, went up a little bit. I've been going running, and at the beginning of the year, I was running the 6 3/4 mile run. I've always been quite good at middle, I can keep going, I'm quite good, but I got a lot slower. I did a half marathon last year, which was the slowest I've ever run,
I
did it about 2 hours 40. It's like almost an hour slower than I've done it in the fastest.
What's the point in even doing it?
And my 6 3/4 mile run, I was doing in like 1 hour 20 at the start of the year. And then I've been getting a bit faster, and now I've been trying to go as fast as I can. And I was been trying to get it under an hour.
Yeah.
But so that meant in January I was running it at 11 and a half minute miles, which is pretty slow.
Yeah.
To this week, I did it in 59 minutes.
Which
is like a leopard. Like a leper being
like
chased.
A panther.
So that eight and a half minute miles for 7 miles, basically, which isn't too bad. I was surprised I could do an 8.5 minute mile. The last mile.
At your age, with your extra weight.
The last mile I did in 7 minutes. So I did a 7 minute mile, which is kind of amazing. You know that I play snooker against myself. I don't know if you listen to my podcast.
No, I just...
Very entertaining. It's called Me One versus Me Two Snooker.
Yes.
You can't burp in the middle of this very serious and important thing. And it's based on... This will link back in again in a second, but this will eat up some time, this story. So it's based on when I was a kid, I was... my brother and sister are a bit older than me, and so I had to spend a lot of time playing on my own. With myself. And I really liked snooker. I used to play a lot of Sabutio against myself, and I used to play snooker against myself. I didn't call them Me One or Me Two, I don't think, at the time, but basically I would take on two different personalities and probably commentate. So I decided to try that as a podcast, as an adult, for various reasons, which has worked phenomenally well. 30,000 people listened to the first episode. Now we're on episode 45. That has gone down a little bit. About 3,000 people listen to it now. So it's a kind of endurance. It's like an endurance exercise. It's quite boring.
Really bad.
But I think it's the funniest thing I've ever done.
Well,
and I think the longer it goes on, the funnier it becomes. So I've done 45 frames. If you want to catch up, you have to start at the beginning. It's going to take you a day, 22 hours to catch up. They're all about half an hour.
I'm just having a bit of a cake now.
That's fine. And you've got to have your pudding. But as I was running to try and spur myself on, I suddenly had the idea of why didn't I make this... The previous run I'd done in 65 minutes. And then I thought, well, let's make this run Me Too. And Me Too will try and defeat that. Me Too is a bit of a renegade.
Be a bit self-obsessed?
He's a bit of unpredictable,
cool, I like this guy. Yeah. I like the sound of this
guy. He's disappointed that Me One got married. He enjoyed being single. But he's kind of alone.
He doesn't play by the rules.
He doesn't play by the rules. So he hates Me One. So that really spurred me on. As soon as Me Two was running, he was really going, right. Because about halfway around, I was about 31 minutes. I thought, I'm not going to do it. But then Me Two came into play. He's taking it. And I was using my iPhone to time myself because there's a stopwatch on it. But that was quite inefficient because I had to keep on getting my phone out of my pocket.
Sure.
But then, as
Seven-minute mile, you ain't got time for
that's
it.
That's it. And as I was coming back to the house, I was running fast up the road to try and... I knew I was going to come in under an hour, but I was wanting to go as fast as I could. Or me too did. And I was running so fast that I actually ran past my house. And I didn't realise I'd gone past my house. Then I realised I'd gone past my house. I realised I had to press the stopwatch at the same time to stop this, to find out what my time was. And I was sort of half turning and I was trying to fumble to press this stopwatch stop. And somehow I tripped over, going quite fast. I'm actually quite lucky, certainly not to have been injured. But I've got a slight injury. I can't show you because I've got cufflinks on. Maybe I can. Here we go. So I went arse over tit and I think I landed on my phone. I can't really remember what happened. But it's sort of...
It's a blur when you're running that fast,
isn't
it?
Look at that. Did that, scratched all up. My keys had gone all up. I come out of my pocket and go all the way up the street. So it was quite a fun... I'm an old man, and having a fall at my age can be a disaster. You could break a hip. But all I did was I hurt my... And then because I was so upset about my phone, first of all. I mean, it's just so pathetic that I was nearly 47-year-old man sprinting up the road, pretending to be a version of himself and trying to beat himself.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a picture you're painting, yeah.
And then falling over. It was pride, and I was really happy because I'd done it in under an hour. I couldn't believe it. Seriously, and even 10 years ago, I couldn't do it in under... I didn't try that hard or anything, but I couldn't do it in under an hour. So it's, like, amazing. So, A, I was amazed that I'd done it. So I was still, even though when I fell
Hang
over...
On, A, you were amazed at yourself.
I was amazed how brilliant I am. Even then, I wasn't so bothered I'd fallen over. B, I then saw my phone was cracked, and I was gutted. But then I was excited because I thought... Maybe I can get a phone with a battery that works.
Well, yeah.
That is a bit better. But as it turned out, maybe we'll talk about that later. Then I didn't even really realise I'd been hurt because I was sort of so worried and so elated.
You're coming across so brave right now.
Yeah. So I kind of walked in and then I realised, and then I kind of thought I could have smashed my head open.
Yeah.
No one would have ever known that I'd beaten my record. Because the stopwatch would have just carried on ticking on anyway.
Yeah, and that's
so, even if I died, I wouldn't have minded if everyone had known I'd done the under an hour thing.
But
they would never find out if I'd died or if I'd been hurt or just brain damaged. I could have been lying there trapped inside my body, but my mind could still have been working, going, but I did the sub-hour run. It's unbelievable. 8.5-minute miles I was doing.
And these listeners? I mean, I feel for them. They would never get to hear about this.
They would never have heard this story. You'd be sitting there on your own eating rice.
I mean, I had a cake to finish with just because I was thinking, get me out of here. So I had to eat my emotions.
So anyway, in the end, though, I didn't get a new phone.
You didn't?
No, because I realised it was about 89 quid to replace the glass. It was just, I broke the glass, so everything else was working.
Right.
So you're using it I've seen this quite a lot with people with smashed screens.
Well, hello. Yeah. Case in point with Lily's phone.
A literal case. So
a literal
that
case.
Only costs like £89 to repair that.
No, it doesn't. It costs, I got it done for 65.
Okay. Well, it's broken. So you didn't get it done. You've broken it
since. I got it done. I told you about this on the radio show, so you weren't listening. Someone in a club broke my phone.
Oh, yeah.
Then I got it fixed myself. And then I broke it again a week later. So it's pretty cool.
Go to this place, they're good. But when I was in there, I thought, hey, how much would it be to change the battery? Because the battery's so rubbish.
Hey, yes.
And they said, yeah, it'd be like another 25 quid. We'll give you 25 quid. So I did it, thinking, great, now the phone will work. So it's been a good thing. It's just as shit. The new battery is just as shit as the old
guys, trip-o. I get the silver lining. A story of the silver lining, please.
What we're going to talk about on the on the emails in and the texts in.
Yes.
And you can, if you're listening to this, we're not live, but we're nearly live. It's not too long ago we recorded this.
Same day,
which is good for us. Then email in with ways you've destroyed expensive gadgets in an embarrassing way. I don't think anyone will be as embarrassing as that. So tweet in at herring1967. Email in herring@foobarradio.com. Just shout it. Shout it out. I hope we're here. If you're in the...
Shout it out.
If you're in the Caledonian Road area, just shout it. We probably will hear it through the window.
Shout it out.
So that is what the... And there's plenty of those coming in. So we might play a record and then read some of those out. That filled a whole section. That is good. We need another story. We can talk about... me being on TV next, if you like. We could talk about you.
Quantity over
whatever
quality,
like.
Richard.
Whatever you
quantity
like.
Quantity over
I
quality.
I think I am the best one in this, so I'm very happy to talk to you a lot. This is PJ Harvey.
Why don't you masturbate yourself live on radio? Oh, I love
this song
as well.
This is great, this song. This is almost as good as me running a sub-hour 6.75 mile.
Hey, it's just our first day.
It isn't even our first day. Hey there, we're back. That was Polly Jean Harvey, who I love. I was my wife was a bit grumpy this morning.
Yes.
She hasn't been very well. And but I find her like endearingly amusing when she's grumpy, and she makes me laugh.
Yeah.
As I was laughing, and that was making her more upset.
No, that's not.
And then
good.
She was going, "Why are you laughing at me? I'm upset." And I said, "It's because you look so cute." And I said, "I'm laughing with you. I'm live with you, laughing with you, not at you." And she said, "But I'm not laughing." I thought that was really good. I'm going to put it in a sitcom script. So loads of people have smashed phones and other. I knew this week. I emailed, said this is a great topic, and Lou was going, "Don't you think?"
All I said is open it up to general clumsiness.
I'm not sure.
I said
there will be a good phone.
No, I didn't
topic
say that. I said open it up to general clumsiness
because most people won't have done that.
No, I didn't.
Wrong, Lou Sanders. This is 20 years in broadcasting right here. This is me. I am the winner. Hundreds of them. Many on Twitter. I've given some on email to Lou. I'll read a couple here. Andrew Smith, I drove over my partner's phone quite unintentionally. She did not see the funny side at the time. Just say, "I'm laughing with you, not at you." Let's go, "I'm not laughing." The Rake and Herald, interesting, said, "I broke my Walkman falling off a cliff into the sea. Didn't care too much, though, as I subsequently drowned." I think that one's not a real one.
Interesting.
Alex Price, I think we'll get this a lot. I sat on my first e-reader. Not necessarily e-reader, but I think a lot of people have sat on things.
What's an e-reader?
It's like a Kindle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A Nook.
Well, they should make it. They can make these things durable. They can make iPhones so the screen doesn't smash. It's just a profiteering racket.
I don't know. This is the first. I've had iPhones for a long time, and this is the first one I've
broken. I've broke every single screen I've had.
You've got to be more careful. Yeah. Kat says, 2 days of dismantling, cleaning, upgrading and repainting a laptop, a beautiful blue. I closed the lid on a screwdriver. Fuck buttons. There's loads of them. Callum Morin, who is a young journalist as well, writes, does interviews with comedians. "Well, I somehow managed to crack my phone screen in the middle of the night. I was completely sober and it was by my pillow." Well, you lay on it, you idiot. What's wrong with you?
But still, I mean, that's a big lay.
Fucking idiot. What a fucking idiot.
Right, I'll read some now.
Write a nice review of my show, you fucking idiot.
Now you're getting angry. I'm going to take over. Will you just calm down a little
fucking
bit?
Our listeners are fucking idiots. They're not even listening, these people. They're just emailing, tweeting. Go on,
okay,
on, who have you got?
I've got one in from Pete here.
This is, just to remind people at home who may just have tuned in, this is ways people have destroyed expensive gadgets in embarrassing ways.
Broadcasting 2014. Hope you're enjoying it. Listen.
Hey, it's just our first day.
Hey, Lou, why don't you make one
for the last day.
One?
Should we try and get the sack before then?
Yeah. I do view. I'd just use that one and go, "Last!" Over the top of it.
Do it again.
Hey, it's just our
last
day.
Or,
I ruined that.
It's just our
penultimate
day.
Nice, very nice. Okay, this is from Pete. "I touched the bar of an electric fire once just to check it was on. It was."
That's not how he only destroyed his finger there. He didn't destroy the gadget.
Here's one from Dave Thomas.
Yeah.
That's such a name of someone that would listen to your show. Dave Thomas. An ex-girlfriend's dad was fixing a washing machine, didn't unplug it and touched the wrong part. Cue a loud bang and him going flying across the room. The family ran in, helped him back to his feet and asked what happened. He said, "Well, I touched it here," and promptly flew across the room for a second time. The same man got his head stuck in a motorbike helmet twice. The second time I showed someone how it happened the first time. That is brilliant. That is so brilliant.
It'd be good if he died. If he died during the washing machine incident, that would make that even funnier.
I'm going to take that home.
He was dead. It's good. We'll put all this in a sitcom. This is good. This will be a funny sitcom. Sybil Williams, "I brought a phone in hand. I walked into a spider's web, arms flail, phone screen completely crazed, as was owner." Crazed. Okay. You got another one?
Yeah. Go why on. Not? This is from Dan. He lives in Surrey, if you wanted to know where he lives.
I do.
Okay. First year of uni, we had a 90s party, and for some reason.
Oh, that makes me sick to the stomach.
I was thinking, was it in the 90s? 90s.
No.
We had a 90s party because it was in the 90s.
I wasn't grown up in the 90s. I wasn't even a student in the 90s.
Oh, dear.
That has literally just happened. You can't be nostalgic for something that's literally just occurred.
Well, you can, and you he did. Fuckers. Then that's Dan from Surrey.
I hate you, fuckers.
Don't worry, Dan. He's just bitter. Dan from Surrey had a nice party, and for some reason that meant everyone was in dungarees. I was wearing mine, and I had a phone in the chest pocket. I was enjoying myself. Of course he was, it's a party. And surprised with how handy the dungarees were proving to be. I went to the loo, and as I was standing in front of the open toilet, unbuttoned the shoulder strap, sending the front flap down, and the phone into the toilet.
See where that was going.
Yeah. Luckily, I hadn't peed yet, and I didn't hesitate to rescue the phone, but it was ruined. I've not worn dungarees since.
When I, just after I'd had my, I'm sure we'll get a lot about toilets, but just after I'd had my phone stolen, I had my new phone, and I was backstage at the Hammersmith Apollo.
Of course you were.
Doing a charity gig. And I was on my phone, and it slipped out of my hand into the toilet, and it sort of spun round the toilet bowl. And I was weeing, and I had to stop, and I grabbed it, and the little corner of it went into the wee toilet, but I basically saved it. Yeah. So it spun round like some kind of game, and I say, and you know, that would have been like within a week of
that. That's good. And you couldn't do that now because you haven't got such control over your
urine now.
Yeah,
it would have been good because the urine would have been going all over most of the urine would have been outside of the toilet now if I was doing it now, so it would have been fine.
Okay.
It's a terrible thing as you get older, Lou. You'll find out when you're older. It's all right for girls. You get to sit down. No one ever... And you can't really aim it, can you, anyway?
Well, there's a thing you can do. Apparently, my brother told me that once this girl at school was well-known because she could direct her piss like a boy. So I think you just, like, pull up the hood bit and you just, like, spray in. And you can do that. And I was like, whoa. I remember thinking, that is the coolest thing. I'm going to train myself to do that. Okay.
I'm trying to, like, pull up the hood, like, in a car.
It's a bit more delicate.
Okay. I didn't know there was a hood. I don't go around that bit. So Seb says, I tried to boil milk in a kettle once and totally ruined it. Been told this is really stupid, but it still seems logical to me.
Sorry,
stupid.
I wasn't...
He boiled milk in a kettle.
Well, a lot of people try that, I think.
Yeah, and then they ruin their kettles.
Sorry, I wasn't listening because I was just reading this. Listen up.
I'm impressed to see you reading the things in advance.
Thank
you. I've taught you a lot. the pupil has become the master.
Well, yes, because this email from Tommy B says, very sad to hear of your imminent departure. Lou especially has been a revelation. So, you know.
You know, a lot of these emails, it's just like Amanda writes them.
I once listened to one of your shows in its entirety.
Thanks a lot. We've only done 20 of the fuckers.
I'm so quick to take the compliment away, aren't I? I once listened to one of your shows in its entirety whilst watching The Fountain outside Somerset House. I'm so alone. Not really. I don't understand this email. Not really a gadget. Oh, okay. They are alone. Tommy B's alone, and that's my demographic. People are very alone. Not really a gadget, but when I was younger, I went to Euro Disney. I spent all my savings and pocket money on a replica glass rose from Beauty and the Beast.
Aww.
Aww, and it's a guy. I almost instantly dropped it when exiting the shop. Oh, they should have given you another one. In my teenage years, I subsequently wrote a song called The Broken Rose of Youth.
It went on to make £1 million, and I spent all of the £1 million on roses and smashed them on Walt Disney's face.
They should have given him another one. A little boy with a rose thing. Oh, come on.
You go, grow up. Be a man. Stop buying roses. That's girl stuff. Let's sexually objectify everyone. Men and women.
That's true.
Oh, God. This Rosanna Nichols. We have to play a record in a minute. She deserves this. I cracked my phone screen as it fell out of my pocket whilst I was unicycling. Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from with that, but let's just... try and love everybody.
Loz says, phone went through the washing machine because I was a drunk student. Mm. Well, you know, if you're a student, why are you using a washing machine? Am I right? High five!
All right!
Yeah! We fucking took them down. I told people it was got wet because I lived in Wales.
Oh, that's good. Not sure if it's clumsy to blah, blah, blah. I went to the bar, went up the stairs and started walking down the corridor. I noticed a guy coming back the other way, so moved over for him, but he moved the same way, then... We did that thing, you know. We're getting pretty close now, so I started to mutter, oh, sorry, and walked into a mirror. Now, I only read that out because it shows you that actually, even though you put the topic as electronics, people did do general clumsiness. So a bit
that's
of a,
the only person who's done general clumsiness. Do we have a quick what's in the bag and then play records? Because, you know, otherwise what's in the bag is going to get forgotten.
I'm excited about what's in the bag.
Let me just find the jingly massive.
What's in your bag? What is in your bag?
What is in the bag today? It's a blue bag today. Lou is in charge of this stuff. There's loads in here. There is a piece of paper.
Yes, get it. What do you think's on it?
A picture of your vagina.
No, that's not
hold on, there's yeah, that's for the last week. There's like a little bit at the top.
Yes.
That's.
Yes.
Is it like one of those things you put on a lamppost and you can tear bits off and it says, come and help me move or something? No. It is a picture of.
Wait, you pulled the head off. It's Max Clifford's head on an Asian bodybuilder.
I can't believe I didn't get that. Let's see what's coming up next. It was Max Clifford's head stuck onto. Oh, I'm not even in the bag. That's how bad I. Oh, no. Is it a pair of your underpants?
Big ones.
Oh, nice. I'll take those home and masturbate in them later. There is a large bottle-like thing.
What do you think it is of?
I think it's a bottle of balsamic vinegar.
No.
Something like that, though.
No, it's alcohol.
It's got a stop in it. Is it like a liqueur?
No, it's the worst alcohol that no one ever wants to drink.
Is it my...
It rhymes with...
My spunk.
It rhymes with guzzo.
Ouzo!
It's for Amanda's birthday. It's half a bottle of ouzo.
I'm not drinking. We'll give her the pants as well.
Give her the pants. Throw in the pants. I mean, throw in the bloody pants.
Is that it? There's something unpleasant in there because there's like.
Yeah. That was.
It's a chili. It's like an old, long, dried red chili.
Yeah, so now you're going to burn your eyes all day. Take those pants away.
Oh, the ouzo nearly smashed. Yeah, so that's good. So if I touch anything sensitive, or my penis, if I go to the toilet now, that's my friend Tim Richardson, who knows Bunny, he chopped up some chilies and then went to the toilet without washing his hands.
Oh,
and then his penis was a flame.
Fell off. Also, is washing powder in there as well?
No, that's what it was. There was some like crumbly.
Washing powder in a chili.
Yeah.
So enjoy your fingers all day. Just some great people making great choices, having a great time on a radio show.
We're carrying on with some great music. It's John Peel's favourite, Teenage Kicks.
Play it in.
From the Undertones, so that's what we are like. We are like teenagers kicking stuff.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders, ripping you a new ear hole.
Yep, that was the Teenage Kicks from the Undertones. And we're here. It's our second last week, so enjoy us while we're hot. Enjoy it, because we're super hot. You wait till next week. We're going to lift the lid next week on everything that's been going on here at FUBAR Towers, all the behind-the-scenes affairs.
Yes.
All sorts of stuff. We're going to have to find out about them first, but boy, oh boy. Look at these people. They're up to something. Look at them in through there.
Look at them just living their lives.
Look at them. It's all dirt, isn't it? It's all dirt. So loads of people have been emailing it. That's what I imagine. Yeah. You don't want to know what I've been imagining. At least I just keep it imagined in my head, unlike some people I could mention.
Rolf so Harris.
Yes, well, we don't know.
We don't know.
We did definitely have sex with an 18-year-old when he was 55. Right. The daughter of one of his friends. You Which is what? Not something that is particularly admirable.
No. You see, Rich, you come across as a cleese, but you're actually a really good guy.
Well,
and it's funny because you come across as a total wrong-un, but you're actually not. And this is the thing. If someone said you or Rolf Harris, I'd say, before I knew you, I'd be like, oh, well, it's Richard Herring, of course. But actually, no.
I've had my moments, but, you know, there's a moral code you have to abide by. And also, as it turns out, there's a legal code you have to abide by as well. So do watch out for that. But the legal one is more important than the moral one, I've discovered. Let's do a few more of these. There might be some repeats because, you know, fuck it, who cares?
Yeah.
Sarah Kay, I dropped my iPod in the toilet. To be honest, it was living on borrowed time because I smashed the screen by dropping it on the tube track.
Silly old Sarah.
And she is silly. Nick Hobbs, I dropped a phone into a train toilet whilst wrestling my 3-year-old into her tights.
She thought
it was hilarious. We've had the unicycling one. We've had that one. There was another good one here. Last year, Crispin says, I dismantled my phone out of curiosity because I thought it was my old phone. I couldn't put it back together again. There's hundreds. I don't understand this one. Mike Birtwistle, it seems like the first part of something, ran across a concourse at a football match to join in with the celebrations after a last-minute winner. That's just a story. Nothing bad happened.
Did you forget the other half of your trousers?
Ian Cross, who I know, leant down to pick a penny up off the floor for good luck, and his phone fell out of his top pocket and smashed. It was not good luck.
That's a real piece of irony, isn't it?
It is. Anyway, Lou. What have you? We've been. I've been just talking about myself, and I haven't even got to the main stories of the week. What have you been doing this week? You're looking very happy and fresh-faced.
I am. I've had my balls to the wall, admin-wise. You can imagine. I've been kissing tongue sandwiches.
Okay, good. There's nothing new with that. Is it the same person you were kissing last week, or is it a different one?
No. Same person, or some other ones.
Same person. That's incredible.
I know.
Do you think you'll end the series with the same person, or do you think...
Well, we've got one more week.
Yeah.
Ooh, don't know. Do you want to take some bets on that?
Yeah, we could maybe. Did anyone give you any money for your house? Oh, no, they haven't yet.
No. I'm over that now, though.
Hey.
I don't need a house because I really like where I'm living.
That's good.
And I figure, you know, I'm just such a spiritual being.
Yeah.
I don't need material objects.
That's good. You've got that green tea there. You're enjoying that?
I'm enjoying that. I'm just enjoying my life in the moment.
Okay.
So if someone did buy me a house now, I'd still say yes.
What's happened? What's apart from the kissing? Anything happened? Because you were like, come on, ask me about what I've been doing this week.
I had something and I've totally forgotten. And so when you played a song, I was going to look in my diary, but I didn't have something that I wanted to talk about.
You watched me on my TV show that I was on. It's rare that I'm on TV. What did you say? I did a show which we recorded last year.
We talked about it last
week. With David Baddiel, it's called 24 Hours to Lose a Fortune or something it's called. They changed the name.
But I didn't really...
24 Hours to Go Broke. So we went to Armenia. We had £8,000 in Armenian currency, which we had to spend in 24 hours. I like the film Brewster's Millions. If we spent it all...
But without the pathos.
Yeah, and without any of the good actors in it. So it's basically a travelogue show where the budget was given to the presenters.
But then I didn't really get it because they kept,
I haven't watched it, by the way.
Oh,
I was there when it was happening.
Well, you come across as just a beautiful man.
Thank you.
With a lot of TV productions company's money. Just a couple of men having a nice time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the sort of thing I want to see on my TV.
Yeah, well, it was sort of fun. It's a weird thing. And inevitably, even at the time when we were going out, we got some criticism for the idea, which I can understand. And I thought, when I was offered it, I thought, oh, it's a, in this day and age, especially with the economy as it is, how will people react to two people going out and just blowing money? But... I then thought that was quite an interesting proposition because, A, you don't ever get the chance to do that, even if you're rich, which I'm not particularly. I'm certainly not poor either.
You are rich. You're Rich Herring.
I am Rich Herring. Then you don't go out and spend... You know, David Baddiel, for example, is pretty rich, I'm guessing. But he wouldn't go out and spend £8,000.
He lives in Hampstead, I know that.
I know. So he's well off, but, you know, even if you've got the money, you kind of don't spend it. So that's quite interesting. It says something about the value of money. And I also thought, hopefully, we can spend some of this money go to people, nice people, and you know, and if we don't do it, it's not like people going, well, I got this. This is a typical tweet of, I'd say about 70% of people enjoyed it, and 30% of the people maybe hadn't seen the show, but also were cross about it. I got this one last night just as I went to bed. Same to you, matey. I don't know what he was replying to, but I hadn't. So he was saying something like that. Ripping the piss out of Armenia, spending £8,000. Why not give it to a children's charity? Useless fucker. The reason I didn't give it to a children's charity was because it wasn't my money. And,
also, that would be a very short show, wouldn't it?
If I'd just gone and said, here you go. We had to follow certain rules within the programme. But also, if we'd given it to children's charity at the beginning, oh, that's it. We've got to fill an hour of us, you know, we haven't got any money. But it wasn't our money. If we hadn't, it wasn't like a choice. It wasn't like going, oh, well, we'll either do this show, Rich, or you can give the money to charity.
Yeah.
So we were doing the show. Like all TV shows, it has a budget. Well, for example, if you watch An Idiot Abroad, this is Carl Pilkington being sent around the world reluctantly. He doesn't want to go around the world, which I've often thought, well, you know, that's ridiculous. Think of all the people who'd like to go around the world, you could send them to stuff. But it's a conceit, isn't it?
It's a conceit, and it's entertaining, and it gives people a lot of pleasure.
It's a travelogue. There's someone going, and if you think about it, that man is blowing a lot of money going around the world to supposedly not enjoy himself. Similarly, The Trip is two millionaires going around Europe.
Yes.
Being eating very posh meals, presumably five or six times as they film it, spending lots of money, which £8,000 of a TV budget is
a
very small
amount. Also, some of the people that you helped in the local communities may have sick children, and this guy is probably hoping that they do, and that's not very nice.
Well, it was interesting because I found it's something you would never do, and and I would never stay in the presidential suite of a hotel. So we got to stay in a presidential suite of a hotel for 3 hours. That's all we could afford. We weren't allowed to spend we were only allowed to spend a certain amount of stuff on each thing for a start. So we couldn't just give it all away to anyone.
Yeah.
We were trying to give a proportion of it away.
I'm listening. I'm just
in the end. We actually thought. I remember we thought about buying loads of toys and giving them to a children's hospital or something.
Yeah.
But we decided that would be patronising and weird, and that they would rather have money. And so it didn't fall within the rules of the thing.
Right.
But we only had a certain amount of money for each thing. And so some of it we spent on ourselves. So we went for went to the poshest meal, drank the nicest wine.
Yeah.
Drank some coffee that had been in a cat's bum, as I told you last week. And it was all right, but it wasn't that enjoyable. And drinking cat bum coffee, you kind of think rich people have to do these things, and it's not that good. You have to spend the money. It's not that good.
You know what you come across now, like an actress who's saying, acting's really hard, gets paid millions
of pounds. I wasn't hard. It was very enjoyable, but I didn't enjoy...
David Baddiel's company.
I love David Baddiel's company. He's a very entertaining man. It was fun eating nice food, and the food was lovely.
Yeah.
But it was more enjoyable, like we set up a night of entertainment, with all local entertainers and paid people to come and watch it.
Oh, I didn't watch that far.
And, so it was nice. It was nice giving the money to people. A woman came around selling DVDs in the street. And
we
bought loads of them off her.
Yeah.
So,
but
was nice.
But they were taking the piss with the price then, weren't they? They were like, these couple of clowns. Yeah. They're paying, money.
But we were happy because we had to get rid of the money.
Yeah.
So it's a stupid idea, but it is just like any other travelogue. And hopefully people would see that and go, hey, let's go to Armenia. It looks pretty cool, which it was.
What's the guy's name who tweeted you?
I can't remember.
I bet you got on a blow show, mate. Have you got a call, Owen?
I did point out to him that I have raised £250,000 for Scope in the last 10 years.
Good.
So the £8,000 I didn't give to a children's charity that I'm apparently a useless fucker for. It's
You do your bit.
I do a lot. I do a lot of work for charity. I don't like to talk about it.
No. But let's talk about it.
But £250,000, that is... it's not my money, it's the people of my audiences have donated.
Honestly,
they are the nice people.
I had such a good anecdote of what I've been up to this week, but I can't remember it.
I was watching my light-hearted show.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll give it a check out if you like. It's on Dave this week, and then I'll be on Dave later as well.
Check it out.
Give it a check.
Check it out, and by that I mean put it in your basket and then check it out.
We've had loads more. We'll read them out next week. Ways you've destroyed gadgets, or just been clumsy if you want to help Lou out, make her look less pathetic than she is. Another toilet.
You
one,
what, mate?
Nothing happened. Chris Manny and I threw my PS2 out of the window because I lost the last race on Crash Team Racing. It's tense, he says. But that was a stupid thing to do.
Sorry, I just got a memo from one of my apps saying it's time for my... time for my workout, so I've got to go.
Fair enough. JP crashed my Austin Allegro Equippy. Didn't know that was the sporty edition because I was eating crisps. Golden Wonder Cheese and Onion. They're not even the nicest ones. 'Tis my first tweet, he says. Nick fell off a roof and broke both arms. I also built my phone into a house by accident. I don't know where. It's still there.
Amazing.
He was building, left his phone somewhere in one of the walls.
Yeah,
carried on building, didn't find the phone. But that was just a general clumsiness. He fell off the rule and broke both
roofs. You see?
Yeah, not a good story. Not as good a story as all my other ones.
Well,
because
I think you want electronic goods, right? Because you're a guy.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking about more emotional, broader stories general clumsiness. You could have broken your nan's leg. It was her anniversary. I'm really running away myself creatively.
Dan Taylor says, I dropped my phone in vodka and coke while texting someone to say, I've got a new phone.
Oh.
I returned it as faulty, obviously.
Ooh.
Lucky no one listens to this. Dan Taylor, he's got such a common name. He's got a beard and glasses.
Could be Daniel Taylor from Ginger and Black.
Probably not. Don't think it is.
No.
And Pennywise Peter...
Pennywise Peter. Let's just take a moment.
I got accidentally elbowed in the head. I jokingly dropped to the floor and rolled around like a footballer, smashed my phone up.
That's it, Penny. Them's the breaks.
Penny, I think he's called Peter rather than Penny. It could be called Pennywise Peter.
Pennywise Peter, that's the breaks.
Pennywise hyphen Peter.
Not so Pennywise with your phone.
I think he's Peter Pennywise. He's Pennywise and he's Peter.
I'm going to have a son called him Peter Pennywise.
Charlie Ray says, replied to Herring 1967 in half awoken state, stumbled into bathroom whilst pulling on dressing gown, lost grip on phone, launched into loo. So I've directly made that woman drop a phone. I think she was replying on Twitter rather than I was in her bed, but let's say it's that, just in case. So anyway, we're going to play another record on the record machine. This one is from The Massive Attack, and it's quite a funny name for a song. It's Unfinished Sympathy.
Oh, yes. Spin it one time, Richard.
Okay. Just... We'll be back in the next hour, where we'll probably be talking to Miranda Sawyer soon. Yeah. She's not here, though, is she? Oh, at 3 o'clock. Well, that doesn't mean anything to these people, does it? Uh-huh. That's, so we've got another hour to fill. She's coming for the last hour. We've been going like an hour, right? I've not lost my mind. Okay, we've been going for an hour.
Sure.
And our guest is coming for the last hour. Hey.
FUBAR, radio worth paying for.
Gave that a little double hit there.
Rich, I found that song really moving.
FUBAR.
Did it.
I'm being like one of those with the scratch records, like in the old days, like Malcolm McLaren.
Yeah, yes.
Let's all do FUBAR. Double Dutch.
Yeah.
FUBAR Radio.
Shut up.
FUBAR. Radio worth paying for.
Happy birthday, Amanda. Let's do stories.
Yeah, it's time for Take a Book with Lou Sanders. I'm going to take a back seat and just have a little...
Just enjoy yourself. Oh, can I have a bed?
Yeah, hold on. I'll do that first.
Take a book.
You have a choice of horror or Sweet Child of Mine, Vitamin String Quartet, Love Muscle Porn. You can have the Go Team.
Love Muscle, please.
Love Muscle. Here we go.
Because I love my muscles. Okay. This one's untitled. Very arty. Peter had gone absolutely... Is there a bit of music under this?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Okay.
Can you not hear it?
Oh, I haven't got my headphones on properly. Okay.
Well, that'd probably be the reason.
Okay. How many times do I say okay before I start?
We can edit it out.
Spit
out.
All right, wet your whistles.
I'm sitting on my keys, so I'm just taking my keys out.
Get comfy. Don't try... Shut up! Seriously.
Sorry,
Rich.
It's important that, Lou, this is a good bit of the show. Okay. A lot of people have been emailing in saying this bit is rubbish, but it isn't. It's good. So
they said it's their favourite bit. Everyone said it's their favourite bit.
I wish.
Peter had gone absolutely nuts when he saw Pamela kissing Ron. He was as livid as a livid thing. How could she do that to him? He loved Ron. Ron was his boyfriend. Whoa. I didn't see that coming. Turned on its head.
I did.
Because he was two guys. And you're like, whoa.
My innate homophobia made me assume that the woman was in the relationship.
But Pamela was his sister. And this is a backstory. This is Pamela's his sister. And she got off with his boyfriend, Peter's boyfriend. I mean...
No, it's still annoying for her, though. It doesn't matter about them being gay.
Does anyone know Phil Redmond?
from off of Hollyoaks.
The creator of Brookside.
And Hollyoaks.
And Hollyoaks.
And Grange Hill. Yeah, I do. I know who he is.
I stopped looking at his work after Brookside. It can't get any better. Okay.
That would be a good Hollyoaks episode.
This one's called Sally. Does anyone know Phil? Okay. Sally was a local campaigner for one of the political parties, the Blue Team. She wore glasses and spoke three different languages. Though one of them was Welsh, so not exactly very useful, Sally. Anyway, Sally was a strong woman. She could get the jam jar open, is what I'm saying. And boy, was she good at opening jam, if you know what I mean. Winky face. Subtext, she likes jam. The doorbell went. Sally sultily sashayed over to answer it. Nice alliteration.
The what went?
The doorbell.
Oh, doorbell, okay. You've got to enunciate it for the older listeners.
The doorbell went, so Sally sultily sashayed over to answer it. It was Ron from the other story. Okay, Ron. What's he up to now? What's he getting another story like that for? Okay, next story.
Is that
story.
The end of that one?
That's the end.
Okay, that was good.
Well, I'm leaving it on a cliffhanger.
I'd like to apologise to our Welsh listener, our native-speaking Welsh listener.
I love, by the way, I'm half Welsh, and love Welsh. I love the Welsh language so much.
Really?
More than that, I love the Welsh accent. It makes me so... It sets my
heart
on fire.
Can you do a Welsh accent?
Yes.
Go on.
Oh, Mrs. Jones has had a baby. Can you guess what it is? Yes. Is it a boy? No. Is it a girl?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Thing is, I'm half Welsh and I love... Wales feels like my natural home. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
No, you should go there and talk like that. I think you'll go down really... They'll love you. I am Welsh. Hello. Back.
I would love to be able to speak Welsh, but it was just a joke, so no one can take it seriously every day, please. Okay, this one's called Cindy. Cindy was listening to the Carpenters playing with her bits. Saucy, so early on. So saucy up the top. Okay. Cindy was listening to the Carpenters playing with her bits when suddenly the CD player fell on her head and killed her. What a way to go! We've only just begun. Bled out of the CD player. And still there was poor old Cindy, naked from the waist down, as dead as a dodo. Eric came in, her son. Oh, God, what happened here? He said inquisitively. Dun, dun, dun.
It was inquisitive.
Can you imagine the amount of counselling? Little Eric's going to, you know.
It's going to be...
Do you know Phil Rebond?
I know him from off the telly. It was good.
Thanks.
You should be...
So proud of myself.
Slightly pleased yourself. The bed's going to rot in 6 seconds anyway. How beautiful. There it goes.
Jeff, I feel like you didn't really appreciate that.
It was all right.
It took me 10 minutes to write those.
No, it sounded like it took you all day. They were that good. Heather Kennedy says, I left my beautiful new phone on the banister. That's a foolish place to leave it. Forgetting about the shitstorm clumsy of my 16-year-old son. Hannah O'Mara, these are Facebook people, by the way, just a slightly different kind of people.
By the way, one word, insurance.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Probably not insured. Was playing on a swing and it fell out of my pocket. What fell out of her pocket? Her penis?
Yeah.
Onto a 1 centimetre square piece of concrete. And then what? You've got on Facebook, you've got all day to tell us the details. What fell out and what happened to it? Hannah O'Mara.
More like Hannah, forget the details.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Leo King, I'm a support worker, which involves emptying catheter bags. Lent over, work phone fell into a big bucket of piss.
Oh, that's nice.
Not even your own piss. The mixed piss of probably some old people. And more piss-based anecdotes. Tom Brown came home from pub and peed on my N64 in the night.
Oh, really?
Stuart Lee once did that, not to tell tales out of school, but when he was a student and had a girlfriend and everything. He was very, you know, he had a lovely girlfriend, Polly. Yeah. She was beautiful. And... he once came home, came back drunk, went to bed drunk, and then got up in the middle of the night and pissed in the wardrobe.
Yes.
When he was drunk.
Yes.
Ever done anything like that?
I've wet myself a fair few times, yes.
Yeah, you shat in my bed. Yeah, still trying to get the stink out of that.
Come on. Not exactly. Not a far cry off. Yeah, I used to wet myself. Yeah. When I used to drink a lot. But I'm over those days. That was years ago.
You keep saying you're over these things, but I'm not sure.
I haven't wet myself for about 12 years. I mean, I don't like to be a braggart.
Yeah. Well, you never know when it might happen again. That's the thing with wetting.
Well, actually, I do need the toilet right now. Can I go to the toilet?
Let's play a song. We'll have an emergency wee break. And this is, funny enough, this is from Hole, which is apt, isn't it? Because that's what you're going to wee out of.
And it's
Malibu, which is ironic because that is why you need a wee, because of all the Malibu you've been drinking. I made it very relevant. Lou's gone to the loo. That is also good. She's gone to the loo. And her name is Lou. Oh, we'll come back. We've got Marion's motto coming up for this month. This will probably be the last Marion's motto you ever hear, so do enjoy it.
FUBAR, radio worth paying for.
Lou is back from the loo. Lou, get it, Lou? That was a joke I made while you were out in the studio, Lou and Lou.
Oh, I've never
Yours
heard
is spelled
it.
L-O-U, but the L-O-O means a toilet.
In all my years, I've never heard that joke. It's weird, isn't it?
It's good. You can use that, put that in your act.
So,
I've got another one. There was this Pakistani guy. Put this in your act.
Oh, God.
There was this Pakistani... No, that's what people do. People do that to you.
No.
I've got a joke you might want to like. There was this Indian bloke.
Oh, God.
And this black guy.
No, they
black
say that,
fella.
It's funny they say that to you, because they don't say to me. I've got this Welsh woman. I'm all in. Hey, I saw Marion's motto.
No, what's her motto this week?
I think it was something like... Please place all sanitary towels in the bin provided. That's the sort of thing that...
That's the kind of thing she does. She has different ones for the gents and the ladies.
Have you seen one?
I have. I took a photo of it, so I'll be able to read it out.
Go, go, go.
As I probably won't go to the loo because I'm a professional, I went before the show. I just ate a banana while you were. I did it while the record was playing. There's another little, just a little teaching broadcasting.
Babes, so babes, we're on Foodbar Radio. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Okay.
But you know when sometimes you buy a banana and it's just, you kind of want to eat it straight away, just buy a single one.
Yes.
Not quite ready though, is it? Sometimes they're a bit it didn't look that green, but it turned out to be a bit green. And you know, you peel it and then it comes off like this, like the bits come off rather than a nice motion. Ben Moore, who lives near here, I was going to go and visit him one time when we were doing the show, but now there won't be time to do that. He peels a banana the other way up. Yeah, from what you do, he holds the stalk and then takes it from the, squeezes the top and then peels it down the other
way. What a kooky little bugger.
Apparently it's the best way to do it, but he came and did it on my podcast. You can listen to that, the Rich Herring's Edinburgh Fringe podcast franchise, if you want to read that. And it didn't work, it all fell apart, so you know, he's an idiot. Well, the real Marion's motto, that was just a funny joke, because that's the kind of sign you get in a toilet.
Hilarious joke.
But do not mock Marion.
No, I love Marion.
She takes her a month to think these up. This, I have to say, it's a disappointing denouement to Marion's motto. We didn't even have a jingle for Marion's motto. No. Make up a jingle now, sing
it. Too late now. Okay. Marion's motto.
Marion's in her grotto. She's been writing a motto.
Okay, this is better than the lotto. Marion's got a motto. This is better than your motto.
Blotto, you could have done. She has gone blotto. Turn a boring old jumble sale into a trendy vintage fair. And she's put vintage fair in quote marks as if to mock it. By repricing old tat from 50p to £45.
That's good. Actually, that's funny. Yeah.
Well, it's a sort of social satire that Marion's going for. That I prefer her more surreal work.
I do.
I think she should leave the satire to Rory Bremner's.
I think Marion was at her strongest in February 14. And if you look back to your motto for February,
I didn't take a photo.
It's a
of it.
Very sassy one.
What was that? I can't remember.
Okay. I don't think we were even here then.
So let's have a little. Could have a little look. I might read out to you. I don't think I've done this one before. So it's time for a Dickie's diary.
Hello, Dickie. What's in your diary?
That's you, Lou.
Dickie, what's in your diary?
It's so sad. It's so sad that we're never going to be used again.
They'll be used next week and then they'll be never used. After all the work you put into them, that's what's annoying for me, is just thinking, Lou spent all that time, she probably thought these what are they called, jingles would last forever. They'd be played and after you died, even. Yeah, we would just keep
still,
on.
They still might, fingers crossed.
They'll probably reuse them now in FUBAR, whoever's. Who do you think will replace us? Do you think maybe Nick Griffin, they might get in to replace us? Nick Griffin could use that, just turn it into...
just dub over it.
Just
Nicky's
Nick
diary.
Griffin, Nick Griffin diary. Send everyone home. To where they came from. And this is a little bit something like Nick Griffin would say. My one, that isn't. My wife and I were walking in a wood in Hertfordshire.
That's
the kind of thing we do. Yeah. Well, you know, you just tune out for a bit. People might not have heard it. This is last week's Metrocon.
Okay.
Well, this week's Metrocon. My Metrocon's moved to Wednesday, folks. I know.
What does it mean?
They keep moving me around in the schedules to give the other, you know, columnists a chance. I'm too popular.
Are you? Are you really?
And I'm not, but you know, I've not been sacked. That's the. To be honest, this Metro job is one of the longest jobs I've ever had in my life without being fired. I've done 115. I've just wrote the 115th column. That's like over 2 years I've been doing it. Mostly, either I get bored, you know, or too busy,
or you get sacked for misconduct.
The sexual misconduct thing is probably the main reason. Most. Anyway, we were walking in Hertfordshire. The air was fresh, the birds were singing, and we were away from the danger of the city. But I was about to learn that the countryside can be more threatening than the town.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Do you want me to do the sound effects for this? Just jazz it up a bit.
No.
Okay.
We saw how you can just take a little time. This would be an ideal time to eat your lunch. Okay. You've eaten it.
Oh, well, hang on, because you were so scathing about my books and you didn't really like them, so I am going to zone out now.
You can, or you can, you know, do whatever you want.
I'll get the stories out.
We saw a house looking for some news stories for the. Oh, actually, no, we can do the news now because we're going to be talking to Bunny Sawyer.
I've got the news story.
We saw a house nestled among the trees that made my blood run cold. Staring out from the front window was a doll. Not an ordinary doll, but a hand-knitted, actual-sized representation of a boy of about 8 years old. Seriously, 4 foot tall, dressed in a real child's clothes. The woolen effigy had a demonic smile stitched across his pink face and both arms raised above his head as if he was banging on the window. The windows were barred. What was that? Was that to keep burglars out or the flaxen child in? Was the boy the prisoner of a deranged soft toy abductor, or was he locked away for our protection? If he escaped, might he run amok, strangling us with his loose threads? My imagination was running wild, but unless Wall Boy comes to life when no one is looking, which I'm not discounting, then someone had deliberately placed him in this odd pose. What the fuck? At the back of the house, there was a narrow, unpaved driveway with a sign reading, "Don't even think of parking here." This seemed unnecessarily aggressive. We were in the middle of nowhere, and I can't imagine that anyone would think of parking there unless there was a sign telling them not to think about parking there, thus making them think about parking there. It's a sign that forces us, anyone reading it, to disobey it, because you have to think about it, because it says don't think about it. Slightly spooked, we continued our walk. A massive black dog appeared out of nowhere. We froze. Finally, its owner emerged from the shadows but didn't acknowledge us. He passed us and then immediately stopped, fishing for something in his pocket. Did he live in the house? Had he knitted the boy? Were we about to be captured by him or murdered? Perhaps he knitted woolen versions of all his victims, capturing their last seconds alive. Was he reaching for his needles and a ball of yarn? I'd have given anything to be back in Shepherd's Bush at that moment. Yeah, there's knife crime, feral children, pavement cyclists and crazy people threatening to urinate in the post office queue, but there are no wool children battering on window panes, and there are lots of people around to hear you if you scream. For whatever reason, the man in the wood let us live that day. I was reminded of a house in wood in Dorset I discovered when I was about 12. That also had dolls looking out the windows. This time they were the plastic ones and had been placed in the bedroom window, still in their sun-faded boxes. A Christmas tree was up in the lounge, even though it was summer. A sign on the door read, "Beware of the very viscous Alsatian." Was that a misspelling, or was there a viscous dog inside? It had jumped to attack you and then dissolve harmlessly in a gloopy, syrupy puddle. I wondered then, as I did now, who would live in a house like that. Maybe the next series of Through the Keyhole should eschew celebrities and instead let's go inside these odd mausoleums of the living to meet the eccentric owners and find out what's going on in their heads. And if Keith Lemon is murdered or made into some kind of terrifying porcelain effigy in the process, let's take that as a bonus. Slam, take that, Keith Lemon. He'd be an excellent replacement for
Oh, sorry, for I was cheering that it was over.
Yeah. Keith Lemon, don't think Keith Lemon should come and do his stuff. That's the kind of calibre the FUBAR people need to replace me, I think. We're too cerebral. Mm. You and I.
Well, you say that. I mean, luckily. Well,
we're not very cerebral, but we are too cerebral for this radio station. So let's move on. We have got Voice of the Beehive now. It's just like, it's a weird record. It's just going, bzzz, that's all it is. That's all
like,
it is.
Like you say, cerebral.
It is. We're very, very clever here. This is Don't Call Me Baby, because I won't like it if you do, unless I am a baby. Don't call me
baby. Hey.
Well, that's
it's
news to me.
News time.
It's that was good. We played two at once. I enjoyed that. I was going for number four and I hit 6 and 10. That's the way things go. But actually, it is news time.
Well, that's news to me.
News time.
Have you got some news stories, Lou? Because I have not. I'm going to look at the news while you tell me about the news. What's been going on? You fell off your chair.
Nearly fell off my chair. Okay, here we go.
You didn't fall over while running at full speed down my street and go arse over tit like a lunatic.
We're so Miranda Hart, aren't we?
I really felt like Miranda Hart. But it hurts being Miranda Hart. Maybe it hurts in real life being Miranda Hart. Maybe it does.
Let's get her on for the
last show. Let's have some. Can't wait to see what guests we have, special guests we have for the last week.
Okay. Well, everyone's probably heard of this one.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. We'll talk it through.
People need us, our opinion on this story. Shocking video shows a vet. Well, that's not shocking. Displaying a lamb born with a human face.
Wow.
Did you read about it?
Well, and not unless it's one from about 6 months ago.
Oh, probably. Also, it's a video. It's not a story. What were you saying about cerebral?
I'm not saying we are cerebral, we're just too cerebral
for this show, yeah. Okay, a Buddhist man lost so much weight in Thailand, border guards refused to believe he was the same person. It's a really boring story, actually. That's the two that I've...
Well, that's used up 30 seconds. Does the lamb look like it has a human face?
I haven't watched the video, mate. I've been really busy.
I'm looking at the news and I see... Because we're actually on Thursday... So there's a lot of 1970s TV presenters in the news, and one of them is Cilla Black, who has just been picked up by Operation Eugene. No, she's resigned from She's retired from TV. She's been honoured. She's getting honoured at this year's TV BAFTAs in recognition of her 50-year career. She never touched anyone inappropriately. She started out as a singer. Oh,
well, Graham.
Did you just hurt your leg?
No, I didn't even hurt it.
Starting out as a singer, she recorded songs by Lennon McCartney, of course, and went on to present TV's Blind Date and Surprise Surprise.
And here's Graham with a quick reminder.
That's it, yeah. She doesn't think people want to see a 70-year-old Cilla Black on TV.
Well, if I had my way, it would only be Cilla Black on TV.
I don't have a problem. I think, you know...
You don't have a problem,
I don't have a problem with old people on TV, because I am one. And yeah. I would like to see myself on TV more. But it's like Brucey stepping down, and then two women presenting a primetime TV show. If they're still
annoying. Presenting
the primetime TV show when they're 84 years old, then let's come back and have a celebration. But those two will be out on there. I love Claudia Winkleman.
She's a great
value.
I love Claudia Winkleman. I love everything about her. Fringe, yes. Personality, yes. I love her.
Yeah.
That's two things right off the bat.
That's two
things.
Didn't
even struggle. No, the thing is, did you read Sarah Millican's? It got retweeted loads.
I did.
Radio Times. It was so good.
So Sarah Millican, for people who aren't Lou, has been written a thing in this week's Radio Times about going to BAFTAs.
Babes, no one's listening that isn't me.
I just like to pretend. It's like me one versus me two. And she went to the BAFTAs and she bought a nice dress from John Lewis, but she didn't go and she wore her comfortable shoes.
Mm.
And then people were slagging her off on Twitter for not being...
And it's very hurtful because she's a person.
Well, she's a person and she looked very nice case. And fuck it, who cares about buying
she said,
nice
her
clothes?
Her job is to be a comedian, you know, and she bought a dress that she liked and everyone was like, oh, she looks like all the judgment and sort of, ugh.
But you just know this is what Twitter's become. It's people judging. It's like when you watch the Eurovision Song Contest, which I didn't watch. All it was the whole of Twitter became a feed about people commenting on it, but all they were doing was saying, oh, that person looks like this celebrity if they were thin or whatever. And it's just like that's become the trope that you do.
Yeah,
that
is
because of Harry Hill. You did it to great effect on TV Burp and stuff. But everyone's just having a crack at that. And then they feel like, oh, I have to say something. Look at that person. They don't look very nice.
But also people are generally quite stupid.
Well, they are. But also I think you should have, if you're going to do it, you should have to post a photo of yourself in your smartest clothes.
Yeah,
if you're going to do it. So then people can go, okay, let's have a look at you.
Yeah.
So someone tweeted David Baddiel this week when I was on the show and said, isn't Richard Herring fat? Which I don't mind. I am. I certainly was fat then, and I still am fat.
You're not fat. You're not fat.
Well, Dickie. I was fat then, and I am.
My friend said you're a good-looking guy.
I'm very good-looking, but that's
he's a guy.
There's nothing. That's fine. I'm on board with that.
Sure.
Wherever any hole's a goal. I can be disgusting about men and women.
Too cerebral.
The guy had a photo of something. He had put a photo of Putin on a horse. Going, well, let's put a photo of you up, Mr. Richard Herring's fat, isn't it? As if it matters anyway. A, I know I'm fat, and B, so what?
Right.
So why are people
judging?
But why are people judging? You have to. You've seen a bit of the show. I was pretty fat back in October last year.
You had more of a. I mean, you're more live now. I'll give you that.
Cool.
Cool.
I am live and I'm more alive. But anyway, let's have a look at some more news stories because Lou hasn't prepared.
I've got myself angry about these tweets and. Sarah Millican is funny. She's a funny one. She's there to be funny, and everyone's like, "Oh,
you just have to rise above it, though." You have to rise above it. I think you do have to rise above it. I was talking about this to my wife about, especially when women get a lot of abuse.
Yeah.
And it is true that, you know, I sort of said, well, maybe sometimes if it's happening a lot, you should take a break from Twitter if it's giving you a nervous breakdown or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she correctly said, I think, that you shouldn't
have
to do that.
No, you shouldn't.
But, you know, I think there's an element where you don't, don't wallow in it. You can step away from the stuff. You don't have to look at it. It would be awful if people are forced away.
Yeah, but if people are acting you, like hundreds of
people. I know, but
you,
fuck them.
Yeah.
But, you know, also you've got to just... She's right. You know, what Sarah Millican said was correct, that none of those things matter. It's, like, ridiculous to live in a society where you're judged by, A, how attractive you are, because that's just something you can't really control, but, B, what your clothes sense is. That's not important, is it? Sarah Millican... A, does look nice anyway in the clothes she chose.
Yeah.
But B, is not. That's not what she's about. She's a funny person.
Yeah.
She's a, no, so she, the things she does are much more impressive than being able to put on a night.
Put on a dress.
Well, A, having the right shape body to put on a dress, or B, putting on a dress. These aren't skills.
No.
And these aren't things to be applauded. It's nice if someone's pretty and beautiful or good-looking and handsome. That's a nice thing. We like to have a look. But that's
Let's have a look at you.
Men or women, we'll have a look. Nice George Clooney or whoever dressed up.
Yeah.
Or a pretty young girl on a catwalk. A pretty young girl on my cock. I will have a look at that. I will look at it and go, thank you.
Sort of impolite to turn away, really.
Thank you for being on here. But there we go. There's an interesting story on the BBC website about the world's unluckiest man, and is he being exploited? There's a man in Croatia who cheated death 7 times, but then won the lottery.
I heard about this. Go on.
And then a cartoon of him has been made by someone in America. And so he's Franjo Selak. He's the kind of life which just begging to be made into a film, and now it has. He's unhappy with the way he's been portrayed. He's an octogenarian music teacher from Croatia. His run of Near Escapes back, he says, in 1957. I'm suspicious because you see this woman who said she was raised by wolves after escaping the Nazis, and then that turned out not to be true.
Mm.
This story does seem incredible.
Wow, go on.
I'm not saying Franjo Selak is a liar.
He's friends with Rolf Harris.
He was plunged into the river on a bus. According to interviews, he's given 6 more brushes with death followed. His train derailed and he hurtled into a river again. He keeps falling into rivers. He walked away from that one. 2 exploding cars. He survived a plane crash by landing on a haystack after being thrown clear.
But can't someone look into these?
I'm sure it's true. Let's not impugn him. A protruding tree saved him when he drove off a cliff, and he bounced back from being hit by a bus. Then, as if to prove he was the luckiest rather than the unluckiest man in the world, Selak won around $1 million, £600,000, in a lottery, giving away most of it to his friends and families. He sounds like a
very nice guy.
The story is not independently verified, but it's popped up on various news sites over the years.
Yeah.
Provided inspiration to David Ransom, an animator in New York, whose company's called This and That Visuals. I was struggling to think of a topic to do a video on, and Frano's story came to me. He told the BBC. He uploaded the 3-minute cartoon to YouTube at the start of May. It's been watched more than 1.2 million times.
Shoot.
But according to reports in Croatia, the guy who happened to isn't happy. He says, the Americans have no idea. They drew a moustache on me. He's very upset about the moustache and mixed up all the accidents. Maybe they will earn big money while I live on a pension. At least send me $1,000. Should have held on to his lottery win, shouldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's coming across as a bit...
He's 80 years old.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's been through a lot. It's strange to have to make up those 7 stories and then give away his lottery win. Anyway, that's an interesting piece of news. That's the kind of thing I was hoping you would pick out.
Okay, well, look,
but
I've
you've
got
picked
something
out
here.
Fuck all. You let me down
wait
very badly.
There,
York City are in the playoffs for Division 2, hopefully go to Division 1, though they've lost the first leg 1-0 to Fleetwood. So I hope you'll be tuning in on Friday to see if they can overturn that and get their deserved promotion to Division 1 before being demoted immediately. Again.
And over to me for my news story. It's not exactly a news story, but I think you'll enjoy it. Do carrots really make you see in the dark?
No.
The truth behind not 7,
they
9.
Don't. It was made up by in World War 2.
Not 2, but 3. But truth behind 9 old wives' tales revealed.
Yeah, you're all so 9 for me.
I'm just going to read all 9 for you.
Okay.
Urine jellyfish. That is a myth.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
Good to get that sorted out.
Good to get that.
Been worrying about that for a while. What's the next one that's been debunked?
Okay, spice is nice.
Yeah, that is that. I always thought it wasn't, and that has now been turned around.
Curries might even help heal ulcers. No one thought that. It's bad for ulcers.
Well, that was the old wives' tale, was that they didn't cure ulcers.
Well, it's false. It doesn't heal ulcers. I could have told you that. Fish is brain food. Okay, true. Okay.
Yeah, good.
Eating carrots will make you see in the dark. Let's see if you're right.
It's untrue.
Already, we're having fun.
It was made up in World
War
II. We're
having loads of fun.
To hide the fact there was radar.
Okay, well, it's actually, it says, a load of rubbish.
And that's what I just said. Did it say it was made up in World War II?
The RAF made up the rumour. Yes, you're right. Stop waving your proverbial penis around.
Okay. And my real one.
Okay.
Or I'm all right to keep waving that.
No, keep waving that one.
Cool.
That's the thing that's keeping me going. Okay. Crusts make your hair curly. Oh my god! Well, obviously that is.
All right, I think it's time to go to a record. I'll just let Lou speak the bleeding obvious to me. You won't have to bother listening.
Wait, it's a good one. one. You know you like swimming. Wait, you know you love swimming. You know you're always banging on about swimming.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Waiting an hour after eating before going swimming. You don't need to.
Oh, thank God.
False.
I've been doing that. My mum told me that. She lied, the bitch. My mum is nothing but a massive cheddar whore who looks like Bobby Robson when he was young. You know, still a good-looking lady. Here we go. It's Soul Wax with Too Many DJs. That's how I'm feeling just now. One too many DJs.
Ooh, this is
in
a
this
good
studio.
One.
Will.
FUBAR!
Tell him what you said.
Hey, I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm going to have to do this way because there wasn't time to go out to Amanda to tell her this. Miranda has just texted me to say she's outside.
Oh.
And she doesn't know where to go. So could you sort out someone to go and get her? There was no time to do that, and I couldn't work out how to do it without letting you all know at home. So I hope you enjoyed that. I've got some more chewing gum there ready for later. I'm looking forward to that. Lou's eating her dinner.
Best of my lunch.
She said she's got a sexual hunger because she's been having so much sexual intercourse.
I didn't say that.
That she's having to eat lots of stuff with a tiny spoon.
I didn't say that. I said I'd burn her love enough, if you know what I mean.
If you put a tiny spoon in your mouth, it makes your mouth look bigger. That's what I've said. No,
that's what the boys say.
That's what they say. A few more things coming out from people smashing gadgets or inexpensive things. Julia said her hubby's 12-year estranged dad gave her hubby a Toby jug. You know what a Toby jug is?
Do I?
He hands it to me. I put it in a bag, hold by one handle, jug rolls out, smashes.
Are they worth anything,
Toby
Jones?
No, a load of shit, aren't they? So she did herself a favour. I did that. That happened to me once when someone, when I was a fan who was a big fan of Lee and Herring, came to it afterwards and gave me an X-Files mug because we loved the X-Files. But the minute it was round the corner, I accidentally dropped it and smashed it.
Accidentally, so, on purpose.
Didn't I like the X-Files? I was very upset, but hopefully he's not listening. And found out now what's happened to his present. We've got a few more. Dylan Spicer, I dropped my iPhone within 10 seconds of opening the box. £200 for a replacement. I never even switched it on.
No.
Stevie, similarly, had a HTC Desire 2 days after coming out. Fell 6 inches screen first onto a tiny stone. Stone acted like a nail, destroyed the screen. So they
should make phones with screens to last. I'm getting angry.
Well, you know, it's the problem is they need to be sensitive so that you can run your finger over them like a lover, someone in love.
They can do it. They know how to do it. It's a conspiracy.
So, did you have a couple more interesting? I cut you off in your prime with your story.
Thanks, Dickie, for coming back to me.
we just had to play a record before.
I mean, do you know what? It's great timing. I just finished my lunch. Okay, now you might be surprised about this one.
I am surprised. Stopes is a great
place
to go for
debunking. You're surprised
that
I'm reading them out in the first place.
I am, but you know, passes time, and that's all we have to do. All we have to do is pass time in here. Miranda Sawyer, Bunny Sawyer, is here. She's seeing through there in the next room. There, she's waving and everything. So definitely
embarrassed about the low quality of the content before she's come in. But
she's a radio reviewer, so fucking up your game now. This could be in the Independent. Up your game! Stop reading stuff off a phone. Pretend we've written a script.
Okay, we go.
Here's something else. From the BBC News site.
Oh, a short erotic story.
No, don't do that. It's good she missed that.
Chewing parsley gets rid of garlic breath. What are you saying, yes or no?
I am saying no.
It does. It's true. So you're really thick. Okay, one more. Going out with wet hair, yes or no?
I do it.
Colds.
I do it. I don't think it makes any difference.
Doesn't. You're right.
Thank you.
One all.
They weren't that good. You built them up and they made it like it was going to be good. And it wasn't so good. So no other news stories, Lou?
Nah.
Nothing else been happening to you in your life?
No, and I found some more lunch.
Really should be eating that in your own time.
You should have been more appreciative of my frigging short stories.
I had a meeting with, because I've had another script turned down by broadcasters. I keep writing script a year, but they like the script.
Hey, why don't you write better scripts?
I might do. They like the script, but they just didn't want to do it. But I went into the meeting, but I didn't have an idea for the meeting.
Cool.
And so then I was sitting in the lobby of the thing, thinking, what can I do? And someone said, oh, they might want something satirical. So I thought, what could I do? And I had an idea 3 minutes before the meeting.
Amazing.
And went and pitched it at the meeting and it got commissioned to write a script.
Really?
But I have once had an idea for a script during the meeting.
That's the thing.
But I don't think I've ever had one that's been an idea that's been commissioned that close.
Yeah, yeah,
but I did it. I said it to him. The first thing I said to him, he said, oh, yeah, that's really good. Let's do that.
Oh, what's the idea? You can't say.
I'm not going to say because someone would nick it off me. Mind you, you know, it's probably safer saying it in here than it is in the office.
There
are more people listening to in my office with my manager and the thing and the guy. Yep.
Are you... What? I mean, are you going to make this one good? You know, stop.
Well,
these...
I write a lot of very good scripts. I've just finished a script for Man Down. Next series of Man Down, which I think is all right. Could do with a bit more work, but it's only meant to be a first draft.
I'm hearing a lot of hot air and excuses.
It's difficult. It's quite difficult writing sitcom. Even with that, like, that's interesting. You get given the characters. You get given like a potential idea for the show. Mm. Still hard work, man. Mm. Right? I've got to write a play by Edinburgh about Rasputin. I've got to do it in 2 weeks, really, because I've got to cast it and everything.
Do you know what won't help? Moaning about
chatting
it.
To you about it yeah. Won't help.
Moaning and chatting.
Not moaning,
to
I'm just
and
telling you how hard, tough it is being a writer. It's the hardest job in the world.
Oh, yeah.
You sit here being the sidekick to a very fantastic broadcaster. That looks like it's people are going, God, Lou's really good at just sitting there being incompetent,
reading stuff
off a piece of paper. Mm. But she isn't good. That's easy to do.
I guess I am an icon of literature.
Try and write a sitcom next time.
Ricky.
Yeah.
If I may call you that.
You can call me anything you like.
In all seriousness, write a good one and then it might be on TV, you know? There aren't any accidents. There's no such thing as luck.
Okay. What about all the things that get on TV that aren't any good?
That's true.
How do you explain that?
That's true. As I was saying, I did think, I don't want to say any names, but we know the names I'm thinking.
Yeah. And I can't think of anyone.
Stuart Lee. I'm joking. Love Stuart Lee.
He's all right. I met a guy on the tube on the way here. He was today. He was standing. He said, "Are you Richard Herring?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, I've been trying to come to your shows. You're always sold out." Mm. And I said, "Well, I'm bloody not, mate. Mm. You haven't been trying that hard. How about coming next Sunday to Meaning of Life?"
God, I was so desperate.
What about Friday and Saturday? Thursday and Friday next week? I'm doing my DVD recording at the Bloomsbury.
I bet it put him off, did it not?
Well, I called him out. And then he was going on about how he'd been to see Stuart Lee and how brilliant Stuart Lee was. And I said, "Yeah, he's all right, mate. Fucking come and see me and learn how the big guys do it." He said, "Well, you've got a lot." He was so brilliant. You thought you'd have a lot to live up to.
Why do
I said,
do
you
that?
Came and talked to me, mate. Go screw yourself.
Yeah, I bet Stuart Lee wouldn't talk to him on the tube.
He wouldn't. Stuart wouldn't be on the tube. He'd driving around in his gold Rolls Royce.
Certainly wouldn't be trying to sell him the shows and sold as well.
He doesn't have to do that because, his stuff sells out straight away for some reason. I understand it. Anyway, we've got Miranda Sawyer coming up any second now. Woo-hoo. We're going to play Daft Punk. They're unusual amongst... they're just giving up now. I'm still here. You're going out. Okay. Lou's just left. They're unusual, Lou. I was going to tell you a fact about Daft Punk. They wear like motorcycle helmets and stuff. Not many people know that about them. Okay.
I'm back when I heard the motorcycle helmets.
It makes me wonder why they... You know that song they did, Get Lucky?
Yes.
It was all about staying up all night to get lucky. It's a bit creepy, I think. It's like staying up all night to wait till
Richard
people
Herring
are drunk.
It.
Well, it is. I stay up to about 2. When I was single, I stay up until 1:30 maximum.
Richard.
Because if you haven't pulled by 1:30, that's it, isn't it? Might as well go home and have a wank.
Richard, we all saw you in the clubs when you were single.
I always went to bed. I didn't stay up all night to get lucky. And if you're doing that, you're getting the people on drugs, aren't you? Basically.
You there with your tongue out, hands in your pockets.
You wait till people are vulnerable at 6 o'clock in the morning and they get on the tube back home. They've had too many drugs, they're drunk. Then you take them home. That's why they wear those helmets, so they can't get recognised. Operation U-Tree would be all over these guys. I'm telling you that right now. Here they are. And look at this, called Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. Do you need any more evidence?
FUBAR. Radio worth paying for.
Well, that was no Get Lucky, was it?
No.
I was just doing robot voices over some music. They've really run out of ideas.
That's an old one, and I have to... I'm sorry, Rich. I have to say that is a kind of all-time club classic, so you're going to have to take it back.
I'm not going to take it back. Maybe if you're on drugs, then it is entertaining, but I'm not on drugs.
So I can come
we are
in.
Here with a journalist. This journalist, broadcaster, writer, Miranda Sawyer.
Woo! Oh, do you clap? It's like radio one.
I'm the hype dog.
Only Lou claps, so it's slightly embarrassing.
Pretty good.
And there's loads of water coming in. There's more water than we've ever seen. I've had a very important message
Thank
come
you.
Through. Have you ever smashed your an expensive gadget such as a mobile phone or computer?
Have I? Yeah. Yes. Actually. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've smashed iPads and mini iPads.
It sounds like you smashed a lot. You stopped to think, and then hundreds of stories.
Well, I was thinking, have I? I have. Yeah. Yeah. And I've dropped mobile phones down the toilet and not realised, and then flushed the toilet and thought it was a really, really fancy toilet that lit up when you flushed it. It was my mobile phone dying.
I'm always terrified about my wedding ring falling off whenever I go to the toilet because it's a little bit loose. Some of the time, like, it comes off quite easy, a bit too easily.
It does
and sometimes it's because I've lost a bit of weight.
Oh, it's amazing. But, it's all off your fingers.
Wow. I can't get it off my face, but my fingers. I think it was a bit big anyway, but I'm always. Sometimes when I'm swimming, it falls off.
But don't you think? I think that genuinely, I have a wedding ring. There it is. And I think to expect to keep that. And I got married late. I got married like 40.
Yeah.
You know, and expect to keep that, you know, if, you know, given a following wind, I live to 80. To expect to keep one item of jewellery for 40 years.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard, I think.
It is. People do lose them. In fact, my mum and father, I think my dad's lost two wedding rings. My mum lost hers in a swimming pool in France. Mm. My dad lost his on the school field. And it never got found again.
But also, that's why I think don't have a really expensive... I mean, not that it was an option. Yeah. Don't have a really expensive wedding ring. Just have a kind of normal ring that you quite like. And then you can always change it if you get bored of it anyway.
Exactly. Like your husband.
It's a bit insensitive to talk about this in front of Lou because she's recently split up with her fiancé and has never been married. So look at that.
But guess what,
bet
guys,
you should have one of those to lose, huh?
So did you have an engagement ring?
I feel real free.
Oh, well, that's good.
I'm living my life one mistake at a time.
Yeah. Did you have an engagement ring?
Yes, I had that, but it was only like a silly one. It was like a big lion roaring.
Yeah. That's quite nice. I hope you still got
brass.
It.
I have still got it, and I don't know what to do with it because it makes me sad every time I look at it.
Then throw it in the bin.
No, because I don't want to, because I like we're friends and, you know, just...
Your friend?
Yeah.
I have to say, I mean, I won't swear, but really, sod that.
Really?
Yeah, move on.
Oh, no.
Chuck him in the bin. Move on.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe I'll give it to a small child who will choke on it.
Give it to the poor children.
Maybe I'll give it to my next boyfriend. Carry on.
Well, give it to your next boyfriend.
Yeah, I tempt you with my engagement ring.
I know what boys like. It's your old engagement ring.
So, Miranda Sawyer, she was born in Wilmslow in Cheshire.
I was actually born in Bristol, but only stayed there for 6 months, so we don't count it, really.
That does count. I was born in Pocklington, in Yorkshire, near York.
So you're Yorkshire.
I'm Yorkshire originally.
And I am West. Is that West Country if you're Bristol?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
I should talk about tricky.
You should. Well, I grew up in Somerset, so I know Bristol very well. How long were you in Bristol for?
6 months, so it really doesn't count.
It doesn't really count.
No.
I don't know Wilmslow at all.
I can tell you exactly what Wilmslow is like. Okay, Wilmslow is like Essex, but up north. So it's where all the footballers moved to and the Coronation Street actors moved to. So if you go south out of Manchester for about half an hour, you hit quite boring but rolling countryside, and that is Wilmslow. And so we have, you know, we can boast, you know, Bill Roach. We can boast, you know.
You can now. You're allowed to boast him now.
Yeah, Alex Ferguson. I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So we have quite a lot of kind of footballers. And, Corrie.
Is it awash with tanning salons and whatnot?
It is a little, yeah. It's a lot of, I mean, the cars tend to be white. Mm. Which is a really rubbish.
It just
makes your car look like an ambulance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's like they're fancy cars in white. And everybody, you know, if you have a label... You show your label off, kind of thing.
I think it sounds very tacky, actually.
Well, it kind of. I'm not being funny about it, you know, because my mum and dad were teachers, so it's quite a funny place for them to end up, really. Mm. But they like, you know, they like the countryside and stuff. And
your dad loves a fake tan.
Yeah, and, but so our house had books in because they were teachers, and nobody, you know, in my area, nobody else had books. They just had kind of fitted kitchens and went on holiday to Marbella and stuff like that. But actually, on one level. You know, you quite often, in order to move away from a place, you disown it a bit on your head, don't you? So you kind of say, I was never like that, and, you know, I must move to London and all this kind of stuff. But actually, when I go back, I just think it's a load of working class people made good. You haven't got
good
whatever people think is good taste. And I think, well, if you want to put two golden lions on your kind of gatepost, well, go ahead, it's fine.
Yeah, Lou.
Yeah.
So it's really, really easy to take the mickey out of, and I wouldn't necessarily want to live there again myself. Mm. But, you know... Well, fine.
You're getting on very well with the guests this week. Last week, Lou was very insulting to our guest, Robert Webb, very early on. And so she's taken a shine to you and is being nice to you so far.
I quite like insults.
Okay.
I think that's a normal conversation.
It can only go downhill. That is my worry.
I think, we were saying in the break that Rich said, well, I think by the start of it... it doesn't matter anyway. Who cares?
About Robert Webb? What have you done?
Yeah, I think by the start of it, he didn't really like me at the beginning, but at the end, he liked me a lot less. Whereas I'd really warmed to him by the end.
He had turned around. And I met you a long time ago.
Yeah, ages ago. We met in Oxford University.
We did. We were at Oxford together.
Yeah.
And I met you through my friend Tim and Toby, I think.
Yeah.
Tim and Toby. Can you get more Oxford
takes
than
back,
that?
Does it? Yeah. I just did an interview yesterday with a woman called Elizabeth Prince, I think she's her name is. Anyway, she was in Tallulah Gosh, and now she's a Turner Prize nominated artist. And she was at Oxford at the same time.
Yes. She was obsessed with Tallulah Gosh.
Really? I didn't know that.
So, yeah, he liked all those kind of
things. But it's quite a weird experience to go through, I think, because basically, that time was between 85 and 88 in Oxford, so it was height of Thatcherism. It was full of people like, I mean, Boris Johnson and David Cameron, who we never met, obviously, because we didn't really mix with that a lot. And it's quite a weird, you know, even if you consider yourself kind of, you know, I was solidly middle class, went down there, scum of the earth.
Yeah.
And it was quite, you know what I felt like it did? It really fueled my anger, and anger is an energy.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, I don't fit in here. It's really rubbish. I'll spend 3 years, you know, kind of trying to enjoy myself, do other things. And you just realise this is the establishment. This is all the people go there are going to run the country, and they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what you're up against. So move away. You don't want to be there. You know, you don't want to. I don't want to be a politician or hang out with politicians or shag them or anything. They're all horrible. It was nice meeting the enemy.
They were idiots. I mean, you did that. As you say, I never met those particular ones, but I met their kind at funnily enough, the comedy club that was a weekly, fortnightly comedy club at the Oxford Union. It was downstairs in the Oxford Union, but was in the cellar. So we went to the Oxford Union every 2 weeks, but that was where all the politicians went. That was the sort of debating chamber.
I never went. I never even went in.
So we were sort of mixing with them, but like again, as the scum, literally in this tiny basement about the, you know, not much bigger than this room.
It sounds horrible.
It was pretty horrible. No, it's the brilliant bit.
It was sort of weird. But again, I think we've got very similar backgrounds. My parents are both teachers, so we were, you know, there was people think it's just posh people, and it is open to everyone, and it should be more known that it's a possibility. But obviously, it's more difficult for.
But don't you think that, you know, my brother came to visit me and just thought, well, I'm never coming here. It's terrible. I think the problem is that they try and open it out now to everybody, but you know, these days, in order to go to somewhere like Oxford, you have to have 5 A stars or something ludicrous. You can't have like 2 A's and a B.
There's no way you can
get into Oxford like that. So it's kind of limiting it all the time to very, 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 very swotty people, basically.
Yeah.
And if you visit as a state school pupil, which they do loads of visits to try and get them in. I think if you arrive as a state school pupil, you think, I just don't want to go here. It's full of really, really swotty posh people. Yeah. It's quite boring.
You should have come to St Catherine's College where I went, which wasn't as like, it was like the comprehensive on the outskirts.
It was modern. It was very modern.
It was modern. It was on
so
the
they
outskirts.
Keep you guys, you
they kind of kept
together.
Us separate out of the way. Miranda went to Pembroke, which is a small one.
And
it's quite posh, though, isn't it, Pembroke?
Well, it seemed posh to me, but I mean, I actually chose it because I thought it wasn't in that weird way that you do. But it was opposite Christchurch, which is the mega Oxford College. And I met somebody there who told me that he went to, I don't know which public school he went to, and he went to a public school, and he said that when he walked into the Christchurch quad, which is like, you know, how they set it out, that it was set out exactly like his public school.
Right.
So that's how it is. So you go to the public school, so that then when you go to Christchurch, you know where the toilets are. Everything is exactly the same.
Wow. All the girls that I've met that go to Oxford, this might even sound sexist or horrible, but a lot of them have got eating disorders.
Yeah, it's quite...
Really
there's
weird.
A lot of very, very beautiful but messed up, high-achieving young ladies.
I have problems
like with
eating. I think, again, but it did... I felt very... It took me even until years later, really, to feel... When I got there, I just thought, oh, I'm here by mistake. I'll be sent home quite soon. So I was amazed to get through the first term, and then I just spent all my time doing comedy and drama anyway. In the end, I got like a reasonable degree, despite not having done any work. I got a 2-1.
Yeah.
And if they told me I could have got a 2-1 at the beginning, I would have really worked.
You could get a 2-1.
And I would still got a 2-1, I'm sure, if I'd worked really hard. But it's, you know, you feel so intimidated. That is the problem. Anyway, that's enough about that.
I think it's really interesting. I mean, I'm just surprised I went to university at all.
Really? I'm very surprised. I just assumed you didn't.
Everybody does. But did you like it?
And
did you go to university?
But did you like going to university?
I mean, to be honest, I was a real tearaway drunk at the time. And I was doing quite a lot of drugs
at the time.
So I'm surprised. I turned up to lectures here and there.
Where did you go to university? Was it a good town?
No, it was one of the bottom bottom performing university.
No, but it's not a university, it's the town, isn't it?
Oh, it was London. Have you heard of that?
Oh, it's really small. But that's all right.
I mean,
you're in London having a laugh.
One time, this guy called Stacey gave me loads of drugs I'd never tried before. I did a concoction of drugs and then went to my ball, my year-end ball, which I wasn't going to go to.
Did it seem like a good idea at the time?
Like,
huh?
A great idea.
Somewhere to go.
I bought these the guy that ran the pub that I was working in, Stacey, this big like moron of a guy, and we just like stumbled in and started like it was the talk of the town about a month afterwards. And I won't tell you the other thing I did. I'll tell you what.
Go on, tell us.
No.
But did you feel, because I think there's a funny thing about university, which is meant to be kind of expanding your mind and you meet new people and stuff like that. And it does. But what it does do at the very beginning is kind of mess you up because you were quite comfy, you know, while you'd not be quite comfy in your kind of, you know, background.
Even if
you were really alienated by your background, you kind of knew who you were. And you go to this new place, wherever it is, Oxford or Newcastle or, you know, America, and you think, oh, I've got it all wrong. Everyone's really different. And I thought, oh, it's a complete mess up of your mind because all the stuff that you thought was kind of quite solid, it just falls away. It's a bit like, you know, when you're a kid and you go around to somebody's house and they do scrambled eggs completely wrong.
Oh,
I thought scrambled eggs were like this and now it's really weird. I don't know what to do. And that's what university is like. It just shakes you up and you need a bit of shaking up a bit. I just think it's really awful that everyone has to get 4A stars to go to any university these
days. You don't have if you want to go to a polytechnic, guys.
But you need like £20,000.
Yeah, there is that also.
So it's all.
We were
being slightly older than you. We were a slightly older generation. We were very lucky, and we did get free education and
overdrafts also, which helped. Well, yeah, so you ran out of money and you lived off stuff you found on the floor.
Freeganism, it's called now. I remember this girl, like, she was one of the kind of like the girls, like, she always looked good and everything, and I was like a bit like a tramp, and she like had this jumper on one day, and I said, oh, that's a really nice jumper, where'd you get it from? And she got it from Morgan's or somewhere. Remember that shop, JP Morgan's, awful. And it was, and I was like,
not JP
really nice.
Morgan's, that's like a bank, it's Morgan's.
Oh, is it just Morgan's?
Yeah. Yeah.
She got it from the bank, which is very interesting. And I said, oh, how much was that? She said £30. And I thought, that's a bit much for a jumper. But I'd spend £35 on a night out any night of the week. It's really weird.
I think that's fair enough.
Yeah. I always enjoyed the fact we learned more about Lou than our guests. That's my favourite thing about this show. How much we live at. This is Lou Reed now. He's dead now. This bloke's dead. This bloke singing is dead.
FUBAR. Worth more than you're paying.
Dead. Completely, that bloke is dead.
Still dead.
He's still dead. He hasn't come more alive during that. So you're a journalist.
I am. That is my profession.
And you work for Smash Hits, first of all. It's very exciting.
Oh, look, Lou's got really excited now.
No, I did read it here. But, like, yeah, what a good job. What was that like?
So, yeah, that was really lucky. So, basically, I was at Oxford, not very happy, did a law degree, really unhappy.
Whoa.
I know. And so I didn't want to be a lawyer, obviously, because I didn't want to spend the rest of my life with lawyers. And so I was going to go travelling and didn't apply for any jobs or anything and didn't understand loads of the words they use in Oxford, like milk rounders. What does that mean? You know, when they, like, bring people around that you're meant to get a job. Anyway, didn't do any of that. And just wanted to write for Smash Hits, but didn't do anything about it. And then went to see my mum and dad in Manchester. And in those days, they had a media Guardian section on a Monday. So I read all the paper because I was on the train. And they had a tiny little advert that said they wanted a pop writer for Smash Hits. And I couldn't believe it.
Whoa.
And I wrote it out. I wrote out a little letter longhand and then went to a friend's house who got an Amstrad and kind of very carefully did it and sent it off. And I just can't believe my luck, because I know how chaotic that place was. So I can't believe they found the letter or that anybody read it or that they called me in or anything. I just can't believe it.
Yeah.
But at the time they were selling about, because it was 88, they were selling like about 850,000 copies every issue.
Yeah.
So somebody had left. In fact, it was Neil Tennant that had left to go and be the Pet Shop Boys. And somebody else got his job, obviously, and then they needed to train somebody up. And I think they just felt really sorry for me because they interviewed me and they I remember it was the editor, Barry McElhenney, and he held up loads of other magazines, like, I don't know, Q and I don't know. And I just said, I don't read any of them. I only read Smash Hits. It was like I was just had one obsession.
Wow.
And the other thing he said to me, he said, Elton John's number one. Why would we not put him on the cover? And I said, because he's too old. You don't want him on the cover. Put Brother Beyond on the cover. And he said, oh, that's interesting. I was about to put Brother Beyond on the cover. So it was just really, it was like employing a really tragic fan who was 21. I mean, you know, most people tragic fans are like 13. But it was great. It was really brilliant. It was fantastic. Because it was 1988, so in those times it was like Bros and Kylie and Jason and stupid Stock Aitken and Waterman, but also like Madonna and the Beastie Boys and things like that. And the record industry had quite a lot of money, because basically what happened is through CDs, everybody was rebuying all their record collection, but on CDs. And CDs, you forget, they cost 15 quid.
Yeah.
And 14 quid went to the record company and £1 went to the artist. So there were parties like you wouldn't believe. There was literally like, there were a party for Bros. And also Bros is like a massive, really mismanaged kind of
Bros party.
Well, it was basically a massive, massive. It was a mansion. It was an embassy. I don't know, like the Canadian embassy or something. So yeah. opposite Kensington Gardens, enormous kind of place. And you walked in, and I remember they had cakes in the shape of all the countries of the world laid out. And they had, you know, just stuff I'd never seen before, like an ice sculpture with vodka coming down. It was kind of free vodka. Wow. They had free sake.
That's a wet
they
dream.
Had pop stars in every room. I mean, literally, you go in and think. That person
did you invite your friends to it and stuff? And
well, just, yeah, but also I just started, so like, yeah. And I'd met all these people, and they were really good laugh, and they were about my age, and so you just—it's like wherever you went, you were going with your mates.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just great.
Bros went to my school.
Did they?
No way.
You're kidding
for
me.
For a year, they came to live in Cheddar for a year. And they
did they?
Yeah, because I think their parents split up
before
or something.
They were famous. Live in,
yeah, yeah. When they were at school, it was middle school, and they were there for. They both got off. There was a girl I really fancied called Bridget Seeley, and they both got off with her.
Do you remember that? Because they're really quite extraordinary looking, aren't they?
Yeah, are they good looking?
They're really Nazi looking. So they look like kind of a really kind of Aryan version of E.T., don't they?
Yeah.
And they've got these eyes, like really bright blue eyes that kind of pin you to the wall like they're going to interrogate you. But there's a classic story about them. It's basically they were managed by Tom Watkins, who managed the Pet Shop Boys as well. And I read, you know, this is my job. I read Luke Goss's autobiography.
Of course.
I've read Matt Goss's. And
which is better?
Luke's is a bit bitchier, so I quite like his better. And he said that when they signed the contract, Tom Watkins got 20% of the gross income, not the net income, because they didn't know the difference. So obviously, they were making loads and loads of money, but then they had to put on ridiculous kind of, you know, they played not Wembley Arena, they played Wembley Stadium. So, like, they played massive, massive kind of shows. So that cost loads and loads of money. So the net profit was quite small, but the gross was massive, and he just took all the money. They were left completely bankrupt.
So he hasn't got no money, Luke or Matt have got no money?
They really, really didn't have any money. And then years later, I went to LA and bumped into Luke Goss. And he was working there. He did a bit of acting and...
That bleeds my heart when
I know,
they had
quite
such
tragic.
Songs like "When Will
well,
I Be
other
Famous?"
One, the other one
and
did better, Craig, because he got paid. Yeah, he got paid £1 million pounds
Who's
just
Craig?
To leave. He was the third one,
and he is now a really high up record company.
Didn't he? Who did he marry? Someone? Did he marry?
He married one of Mel and Kim. Can't remember which one. And he then is now a record
Who's
company
Mel and Kim?
Executive. Oh my days!
I need to know what's going on here.
She's very young.
Believe us only, please believe. You don't know it.
I do. But I still don't know who they are.
Okay, so they're very beautiful. Kind of the Stock Aitken and Waterman people, and they were beautiful kind of twins, weren't they?
Yeah, twins or sisters. Yeah,
white twins.
Were they black or white?
They were mixed race, I'd say.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. One of them's dead as well, so there you go.
Oh, golly, what? Well, this is so tragic.
And the other Mel and Kim, one of them's dead as well.
Hang on, Mel and Kim?
Mel and Kim, there was Mel Smith and Kim Wilde did
the
song.
Oh, I do know Kim.
This is just terrible. Is this death hour?
Is it both the Mels or what is it one?
I don't know, it could be a Kim and a Mel, we don't know.
Could be Mel and Kim
I know Mel and
together.
Sue, and I was walking behind Sue Perkins the other day, and it's quite the treat to look at what she had in her shopping bag. She'd been to the health food shop in Kentish Town.
When you say
and
you're walking behind her.
It was. She thought I was following her because I was a bit too interested.
You were too close, weren't you, looking at her?
I was, yeah.
Didn't you go, why aren't there a few more cakes in there? So that's what you should
She's
do.
Very slim,
do some cake. That's what you like, cakes, isn't it? You're going to bake some cakes.
Oh, so I see, MasterChef.
Yeah,
I thought you were being vile.
No, my friend. Oh. Which one were you behind, Mel or Sue?
Mel.
She's nice.
No, Sue.
Sue's nice.
Sue.
Sue Perkins. Sue Perkins.
Know the difference.
She's named after.
Listen,
a pack
I
of
need to know some more answers about this. I mean, Luke and Matt, I feel really bad
they
for
beat
them.
Up, they beat up Chris Scard. They were a year below me, so they beat up Chris Scard.
Oh, well, so you don't feel sorry for them anymore?
Sonny, I'm not feeling sorry for them.
Together,
have they got a house? The very
Yeah, well, it was pretty bad. But then, Matt Goss, in the end, I think, actually had a kind of Vegas residency, because he can actually sing, weirdly. You know, you think, oh, they're so beautiful.
And
their songs are actually not very good. But, you know, they were proper pop stars. They literally brought, you know, Oxford Street to a standstill. It was, you know, proper...
Proper,
you know, and everybody wore Grolsch bottle tops
they
on their
did,
shoes.
They did, I remember that. That's one thing,
I had forgotten that, they did.
Yeah, they did, indeed.
Grolsch was very popular back
and
then.
And they had ripped trousers.
Yeah, they had the ripped
which was quite unusual at the time.
It was. They were trendsetters.
I can imagine one of them dying from a sexual disease or something.
No, I don't think so, because Luke was married to quite a tough woman who never let him out of her sight, and Matt was an innocent.
Really?
He was like a romantic innocent. Yeah.
And what sexual disease is going to kill them? AIDS? Is that what you think? You think they got AIDS? All the others are treatable.
Syph?
What were you thinking? syphilis and just not bother going to the doctors until their skull fell off? You leave Bross alone.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, sure, they beat up Chris Gard and they got off with Bridget Seeley, but they were nice lads.
I only did that to get you back on side with Ross.
We're going to listen to the Pulp Band now. They're good.
Go on.
That's like proper music, not like Bross. Pulp. Mm. Didn't you like Pulp?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, amazing.
Brother Beyond. I'd have put Pulp on the front. I'd have said, I'm putting Pulp. And they go, well, they're not started yet. And I'd go, well, I'm putting them on anyway. Then you'll see.
You're going to
launch them. Yeah. FUBAR Radio.
Lou's just found out that Miranda really is a radio critic. I wasn't joking. And is now...
I've been taking notes throughout.
I did sort of know it, but I didn't really register it.
So the first thing she'll have said, I noticed that Lou was spinning around on a chair so she couldn't be heard, which is bad.
She's gone all embarrassed. Your body language has changed.
You got told off because Amanda said you weren't talking to your microphone.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. I'm allowed to do that. That's that's me subverting the form. We've been asking about people who have broken things, expensive things. Clark has got in touch. Back in the 90s when I was still a smoker, I bought a very expensive £40 cigarette lighter. On the first night using it, I tried to be cool and flicked the lid open. I lost grip and watched it go flying across the nightclub dance floor. Boring.
But also £40 on a lighter, that is mad.
That is a stupid way to behave.
That was the 90s.
This is a great one. Caroline Anita Hill has tweeted me to say, "Hi, Richard, hello, I follow you. My son left his iPhone in a taxi, never got it back, Caroline."
That's your demographic.
That's what my followers are like.
Hey,
hello, I follow you. Yeah, really? Thanks for letting me know. Caroline Anita Hill there.
It's Caroline.
Paul, I haven't really pre-read these. Paul Walker, having bought a Chinese home, food, not lady of questionable virtue. Come on, Paul, you're better than that. I decided on the great idea of running upstairs with it. Sexist. And slightly, well, no, not racist. Only to trip on the top floor and smash my eye open on the wall. And more importantly, drop my Chinese. So that was one that's one for you. Because that was not technology. She said it should be clumsiness
Thank
in general.
Do you know what I've broken?
What?
Quite a few hearts recently.
Taboos.
Yeah.
And some wind.
That's a high five.
If the smell in the room is anything to go by. So, Miranda, you have appeared on The Weakest Link.
Yes, I have. Yeah. Journalist special.
Oh, is it? How did you get on in The Weakest Link?
It was incredibly intimidating. Yeah. It's just incredibly intimidating because it's also really weird because the audience, is The Weakest Link still on? But anyway, be truthful about it. The audience is really weird. So they have a kind of an audience that just look at you, a very small audience, and you don't know. It's that weird thing where I'm sure you understand, where you don't know whether to play to the audience or to the camera or who you're playing to. And it was a mixture of kind of broadsheet and tabloid journalists, and you have to introduce yourself and stuff. And Anne Thingamty is miles away from you. So yes. it's quite hard. She's really, really a long way away. And when she asks you a question, then as you're giving the answer, she doesn't look at you anymore. She moves on to the next person. Yeah. So it's quite weird. It's like you're talking to somebody who's really rude. And Simon Heffer, I don't know if you know him, but he's a kind of slightly toad-like character from the Daily Mail. He's really, really deaf. And he just couldn't hear what she was saying. And so every time she said something, he was like, and anyway, so I did all right, and I got down to the last four,
wow,
which is pretty good. But then I was in this really weird situation where there were two, I'm not going to say who they were, but there was male and female journalists who worked for different papers who I knew were having an affair, right?
Oh, my God.
So they were having an affair, and then the other person was Giles Corran, right? So I thought...
We can work out who they were now if we, if we YouTube it.
No, yeah, don't. So they were having an affair, and I thought, well, I can't... I'd won that round, so that meant I could pick who could go, if you sort of mean. And I thought, well, I can't leave both of those two, the people who are having the affair on there, because they're going to vote for each other and I will definitely be out. So I voted off... the fella. And, I think I voted off the fella. And then the woman was really annoyed with me because I'd voted him off. And then she voted me off. So then it was her and Giles Corran in the kind of final. And what I should have done is got rid of Giles, because Giles is really, really clever and knows everything. If I just got rid of him, I would have had a chance. But,
It's just regrets, isn't it? That's what I was saying.
But it was quite a weird thing to do. Yeah. I mean, you know, you... You basically, it's quite funny because obviously you're doing it for charity. So you, if you win money, you go to your charity. But also you get paid, I thought, quite a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I very diligently thought, well, I should give that to charity as well. So I kind of gave my fee to charity, which was much more than I normally get. Nobody else did it at all. Oh, what a mug. No. They all just took the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you live in Brixton.
It really was quite a lot of money as well. I was thought, oh, well, but never.
Oh, no.
But it was fine. It's, you know, it's not...
No, it's a nice thing to do.
Gone somewhere, nice, isn't it?
It's a nice thing to do.
It's a nice thing to do.
Which raises money for Scope. He keeps banging on about it.
On and on.
He said he's raised $250,000. I thought, that sounds amazing. In 20 years.
10 years.
I still think it's quite a lot.
£25,000 a year.
That is
all right.
It is amazing. It's amazing. What have I done?
Nothing.
But a snippy £200 to a sex traffic victim charity.
It's the old lady with the mite.
What?
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't get the reference. I could have been on Point the Celebrities again. I was telling you, I did it once, and I did very badly. You should have been my partner because it was all about pop music, the first question.
Oh, yeah, see?
So you need to name a solo act from the 1980s who had a number one.
Sonia. Really pointless.
Yeah, that would have been. And probably would have been pointless. Paul Hardcastle was a good one. Joe Dolce is what I wanted to say, and I didn't say it. I had to go low, so I thought Brian Ferry might have had a number one with a Jealous Guy on his own, independent Roxy Music. I was incorrect. But I'm upset, but I couldn't go because I'm doing this other. I mean, it's ridiculous.
TV coming out
two TV things on this. I mean, admittedly, two quite low key TV things on the same day. But isn't that unfair? They both got. I don't know if I could. I was really gutted about Pointless.
Really?
Because
he didn't. And he really wanted to do well.
Yeah, and to the point that I was.
Were you swatting up?
That I'm still talking about. Yeah, I did try a bit. It's almost impossible to really swat up on it because it's so
random.
But yeah.
I'd say about 6 hours of this FUBAR bloody internet radio show we're taking, we're talking about Pointless. Yeah.
I've got it on my phone.
Don't get it out.
You got Pointless app?
Yeah, I can play Pointless. I'm really good at Pointless. Was I there when you met your husband? It was very early on. I remember I was trying to put you off him. I was very drunk. It was 1999.
Yeah, you were. You did try and put me off. That's really funny.
And I think I threw you together. Well, I
Googled him.
I was joking because I like Michael Smiley, who's an actor. Who's your
husband? That's quite funny.
But yeah, we were out together and I was going, what are you two? I think they were together and I was very drunk. I was going,
but loads of people said that together? To me. But also loads of people thought, I mean, it's obvious he was a raving drug addict.
Was he?
Oh, yeah, he was mental, wasn't he? But I'd met him years before. So I'd met him just out and about in that way that you meet people.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a raving drug addict. Why would anyone go near him? He thought I was a stuck-up cow. And there was truth in both of those things. And then we met again in 1999, and he was not, you know, definitely not as nutty as he was before. And I don't know why I said for some reason. I just fell in love with him like that, like instantly. Like in 24 hours, I thought, oh, my God, this is... I am completely in love with Michael Smiley. And then, of course, because he's a bloke, it took a really, really long time for him to notice. You know that thing where you kind of go, hello, I really, really, really like you. You don't understand, this is me being really over-emotional and you don't get it at all. You don't understand at all.
And then what happened?
And then we went to Edinburgh, which I think was you kind of said, what are you doing with him? He's a loony. But everybody said that to me, so it's fine. I don't care. And he's really great anyway, so it's all right.
The girl done good. The boy done good. They're still together. They had a baby.
Yeah. That's amazing.
We've got two.
Two?
Yeah.
Well, on your Wikipedia, it says one.
So if I had successfully stopped them getting together, I could have essentially murdered those children.
Yeah, and it's for like God's sake, you're my child murderer.
And it's, you know, that's, I regret that I didn't do that. Because it's a perfect murder. You can't actually get arrested for it, for murdering future
people. Two children.
But if I'd successfully broken up, you might have had children with someone else. So yeah. I've murdered those children. So
yeah, I mean, have you got nice children? Or would
no,
they
they're
be
good. Although, yeah, the second one's quite nutty. But she's three. They're all nutty at three.
That
really.
Is a difficult time when they're three.
Is it because you wanted to have her children, Rich?
I wanted to have Michael Smiley's children.
He definitely fancied Smiley more than me.
That year, I was apparently I was drunk quite a lot of the time. Mm. I'd written a play. It was the last time I wrote a play. I'm writing a play again this year, so watch out, Edinburgh. Here I come.
It's quite mental. Edinburgh is very. It's like Glastonbury, but for a really long time and under a roof. It's quite...
It's horrific, isn't it? It's horrific.
Well, it's really sends you quite loopy, I think. Yeah. It really,
that,
really does.
Yeah, I think I was... Because I think in that case, I was genuinely joking because I really liked Mike. I was trying to help them out, if anything, by being the wingman of messing it up for...
Yeah. And also, but, you know, as though anyone would... If you really fancy them, you're going to listen to anybody. You're like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, he's over there.
But I did. There was I can't remember the comic's name. Dave. I can't think of his surname at the moment. But he was there with the woman who would become his wife. And when he went to the bar...
I apparently
said to her, what are you doing with... She was really beautiful. I can't remember. He told me about this. I don't remember it at all. Very rare that I get... I've got a very slight memory of what happened next, but only at the back of my mind. And I said, you know, I kind of went, what are you doing? You could be with anyone, you know, why don't you come back with me or something? And I think I meant it.
Rich.
I think I meant it. I was that drunk. And she slapped me in the face. But I don't remember it at all, and he told me the story and I didn't know any of the story.
Amazing.
And I didn't remember it, and then I've got a slight memory of being hit in the face.
That's really funny.
But only a really slight memory.
That's like you just went out, it's like you know when you see kind of programs and it's normally about Newcastle. people go out and they start going out at 5 o'clock, and then by like midnight they've had three fights and they've lost all their clothes and stuff like that, and they think it's a great night, and the next day they genuinely don't remember any of it.
I'm sure I thought I was joking, because I think even drunk I wouldn't have thought.
I think you were with someone as well, weren't you with someone?
No,
you were single.
No, I was single, but it was, but I think
not this kid.
I mean, no one special, I don't think, but I think in that, even if I was drunk, I would know that that wouldn't work while the guy was at the bar. She's not going to go, yeah, actually.
So I think, why didn't you before? You said I can go home with you. Drunkest man at the bar.
I think I must have been at least semi-joking, but, you know, I got my just desserts, and that's what happens, fellas. Do be careful out there chatting ladies up. You know, at least I asked, which is better than most celebrities. So there we go. Here we go. It's KLF, Justified Nation. Which
yes, I love this song.
This was literally just playing at the end of the last show that was recorded in here, but I don't think it goes out concurrently, does it?
Richard Herring on FUBAR Radio.
What?
Just me. you have been on the judging panel of the Turner Prize.
Yeah, that was traumatic.
Wow.
I know, such weird gigs out there. I like art, you see.
I want to enter the Turner Prize.
Yeah.
Because I play myself at snooker in my basement and do audio recordings of it, and I've done 45 of them so far, and I commentate on it. I think that could be could win the Turner Prize. How do I enter that into the Turner Prize?
I think you can't win, but you could try. The weird thing about art, I think, generally...
It is art. It's about the dichotomy of the human being.
Yes.
Go on, what?
But what I would say about art, generally contemporary art, which is you have to be an artist under 50, who is based in Britain mostly.
Tick, tick.
Tick, tick, tick. All fine. Is you kind of have to have been an artist, as in just an artist, for quite a long time. But interestingly, actually, you tend to get nominated just for one piece of work, so that's quite interesting.
I'm going to enter and I'm going to show you, and I hope you're on the panel, and you go, oh, no, this can't
I'd
win.
Never want to be on that panel again. It was really traumatic.
Why was it
there's only four of you, and I'm interested in contemporary art, but I'm not an expert, so obviously they have proper experts on there. But the thing I found quite hard about it is it's quite amorphous how you decide on the shortlist. So you basically, you know, have to have gone to loads and loads of previews, seen loads of art and said, well, I like this one, and then you argue it out. So we got a shortlist, which was okay. But two of the artists that we chose, really great artists, have been nominated before, and you can say no. And I think if you get asked And you've been nominated before, you think, oh, I'm probably going to win this time. But it's two of them. And I think that then they thought, oh, my God, why did I say yes? Because obviously, you know, one of you is going to... It's just... And the judging process, I literally burst into tears and left the room. I just found it so difficult.
Really?
Yeah, it's much more than... I've judged other stuff, books and stuff. I can't really explain what it's like, but it's incredibly intense because they have to make extra work and it seems really important to them. And and they're all there when you're in that. It's just... The responsibility is just too much. It's just awful. And also, the artist that won made a really, really... is a great artist, made a really, really great piece of work, which I think should have won. But then I could argue to you quite easily that another artist is a more consistent artist over the years.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's just...
Yeah.
Oh, it's just awful. Don't do it.
Do you like Art Lou? Do you want to judge on the Turner Prize?
Yeah.
Who is your favourite of the artists?
Nice ones.
Oh, you should, honestly. There's some really... If you... bother to get into it. There's some because you know a lot of artists now. The reason why I got interested is in the 90s. Obviously, when there was kind of like YBAs and everything. What I found quite interesting about it is because they were about the same age as me, they were making art that I was interested in. So they would reference the reference points were the same as mine.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
An easy way to get in. And then once you get in, there are actually because I think. There's a weird thing about art is people are a bit scared of it, so they get a bit cross about it, don't they? But actually, if you get into it, there's loads of stuff you don't really like, but there's some artists, like, say, Mike Nelson, and he makes this stuff, and it's literally out of anything, it's just out of stuff that he finds, but he makes entire kind of environments, spooky environments that you can walk through. Mm-hmm. It's really, like, they're amazing. There are great artists out there, and I kind of think they just change your head. All you want is your head changed, don't you? She's just fallen off her seat.
My foot's gone to sleep. No, my foot's gone to sleep. But
your foot is finally you know, this art conversation
but don't
boring.
You think about art in general, like music or theatre or film or anything, all you want is to just change your head, don't you?
Yeah.
You just, I get bored of the way I think. I think after a while, I go, oh, God, something else, just do it.
I might be sending you a few podcasts of some snooker.
That will change my head.
It would definently change your head.
I went to the Turner Centre in Margate with my mum and stepdad and my boyfriend at the time. And my ex-fiance.
And I pushed him into the water.
My stepdad was wearing a sort of flannel cap at the time, as he is wont to do. And he was looking at the Tracy Emin exhibition, and one of them said something about anal sex, 1980, whenever it was legalised. And my stepdad turned to my boyfriend and went, another rule flouted, and waggled his eyebrows to say I was bumming someone before it was legal.
And so he said, "That's so classic."
And my boyfriend was really taken aback. Did not like it. Did not like to think of
it. Is that why you spit up?
Man. Yeah, flannel cap man, I'm going crazy on someone's bottom.
Yeah,
anyway.
Cool.
So that's art.
Yes, we've covered
art. That's art covered.
You have been playing yourself on The Life of Rock with Brian Pern.
Oh, yeah, that's what I just went in and just waffled on for a bit, really.
Did you also, now I've just, I might have got this wrong, so this is just off the top of my head. Were you on that Yorkshire Ripper, not the Gary Glitter?
Oh, yeah, that was really, I was. And the reason why I was, it's a really weird thing. So basically, the production company that made it, said, and I just made something with them, and they said, we've got this weird thing, and we just want you to pretend to be in this situation. Can you do it? And I said, well, okay, maybe can I see the script? And they said, well, no, you can't. And I said, okay, not sure, do it. And then I did it, you know, the stuff. And then it came out, and it was a kind of really weird programme. I thought, oh, my God, I've done this thing that's like a really weird programme, and now I feel pretty funny about it. I should have said no.
Did you see this? It was about the trial of Gary Glitter.
Look at me. Of course I did.
It was like a made-up documentary as if capital punishment was allowed in the country.
And the main problem with it was how they sold it to me was they wanted it to be a debate about the nation about capital punishment. Yeah. But the problem is if you do it about someone that actually exists, that completely skews it all over that way. So basically, at the time he was away, wasn't he? He was in Thailand hiding away, basically. From all the paedophilia charges. But that's what people, you know, people just didn't see it as a capital punishment programme at all. They saw it as a Gary Glitter programme.
Yeah.
Well, it's it's an odd person to choose out of
everyone. Exactly.
It's a
sensationalist person. He was killed. It wasn't you didn't have to decide. You just.
I can't remember. Yeah, it was just. Anyway, it was one of those things where I just thought, oh, that was a bit of a mistake. Never mind.
We've done a few of those, eh, in our time.
Oh, tell me about it.
I don't know if you ever had that thing where, you know, people ask you and they're people you like and you're a bit busy and you go, yeah, all right. And then you just turn up and then you've turned up and you can't say no. Once you're actually in the environment and then they go through and you think, oh, right.
Mm.
Yes, well, you either get to the point where you just don't do anything because you're scared of it. Well, the problem is when you're not in control of it, you take stuff.
I'm not very often in control of things. No. I'm a kind of freelance person for hire, so the only thing I'm in control of is if I write something.
Yeah. Mm.
But even if I do stuff for the culture show, somebody else is making that programme.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm just the... And even warm if you, prop.
Even if you write an article for the newspaper, they put a different title on the top of it.
Yeah, I've had that. Yeah.
So it changes, skews the whole thing.
I did a thing about, I did Lady Gaga for the culture show, which was a very weird and slightly traumatic experience. And so I wrote about it for The Observer. And the pull quote they used, which is just a classic kind of clickbait pull quote, was, "I don't find myself sexy particularly," was her. So that's what she said. And of course, all you get underneath is, "Neither do I." No, you're not. For like, you know, that was all anyone focused on. I thought, well, cheers. Like, you know, I actually spent quite a lot of time in that article, and that's just all it's about now.
Oh, yeah. God. People are pricks.
And that's The Observer, though. I mean.
But it's just because they're, you know, everyone's. Mm. Once
the Guardian people are the people who comment on Guardian
are mental.
They're the worst out of all.
They
of
just
them.
Hate you. So they literally, I have never written an article where anyone underneath is going, "Thumbs up for you. I really like you." The worst one is I wrote an article about Nando's for the Observer Food Monthly, and I quite like Nando's, and I'm not that bothered about food, obviously, because I quite like Nando's, but I'm not a foodie in any means. And a lot of the people who read The Observer Food Monthly are quite, you know, into slow food, and they really love. And I basically said Nando's is okay, and I interviewed lots of kind of grime artists because all the grime artists like Nando's, and Nando's has a special card.
I know about it.
We want one. Yeah, but what's really funny is they have a very weird PR system, and I said, "Can we have a photograph? Can Talisa?" I'd done half an hour on the phone about Nando's, about how much she loves Nando's. That's all we talked about. Can she and the rest of N-Dubs get one of the cards? Yeah. And they go, "They don't exist." And I went, "No, they do. We've got a photograph of Chipmunk holding one." He's another grime artist, Rich. Don't look at me like that.
Thought it was the bloke from the Alvin and the Chipmunk.
Exactly. So we know they exist. And they're like, no, don't tell anyone. Don't show a photograph of it because everyone will just copy it. And I was like, well, they exist. Whoa. And can you give N-Dubs one? Because they won't do a photograph unless we give them one. And they wouldn't give them a photograph, so we didn't get to.
Why wouldn't they give N-Dubs one?
Because I think they didn't want Dappy to have one.
Right.
And, you just go in there all the time and have stuff all the time, Dappy.
Yeah, and
he
then,
would abuse it.
He would abuse it.
He would.
And then after, so I wrote this article for being vaguely nice about Nando's, because I do feel, you know, positively about it.
Yeah.
And the hate mail, it just never ended. It was just thousands of things telling me I was awful and I'd obviously been paid by Nando's, which I hadn't. They'd actually been really hard to work with.
You didn't get a chicken card.
No, I didn't. I think after I'd written it, after having all this palaver with they sent me two chicken checks.
Oh, my God.
Chicken checks.
What is the point?
I know, it was really funny, the vitriol.
Do you get upset by it? Because we were talking earlier about Sarah Millican and she got loads of hate mail for a dress. She was ridiculous, and that's not her job.
That's,
to look pretty.
I think it's different, though. That's telling you that you are ugly, which is a hard thing to take. Yeah. I quite often don't read it. At the time I get upset is actually when they write something, I think, oh, God, you're right. Oh, no. You know that thing? Either you get a fact wrong, which quite often happens to me because I'm not very good with facts, despite the fact being a journalist, and there's very few subs around these days. So that is a bit difficult. But also when they go, you know what, it would have been better if you'd done it this way, and you think, oh, no, you're right. I hate that. But on Twitter, I once got really flamed or whatever by a load of kind of very young Radio 1 fans, because I'd done a review of these people called Dan and Phil, their first show, and I'd essentially kind of said, I'm a bit old for this, it's okay, but it's not my kind of thing.
Yeah.
And vitriol was just, I was like, why? Who are these people saying they're going to come round and kill me? Why is everyone doing that? What have I done? And it was because one of either Dan or Phil had said, who is this horrible woman? They'd never had a review before, so the fact that it was, like, you know, vaguely lukewarm was really hurt them.
Why?
And it was just literally, "Oh, we are going to come round and kill you, you horrible old cow."
Bloody heck.
Happens all the time. Got to rise above it.
Yeah, well, I did rise above it. You know,
they're only teenagers.
You know, they're literally kind of 9-year-olds. Yeah.
It is. Well, that is the problem with it, but it still doesn't make any more horrible. Let's quickly play a record, and then we'll be back with Miranda Sawyer after this. That we just listened to was Blondie. It was nice, wasn't it? I like that. It was Call Me by Blondie.
40 years since Blondie. They're having a kind of like you know, anniversary.
I feel, in retrospect, cheated by a blondie, but why? I'm impressed by it because I really fancied her and I had no idea.
And what, she didn't get off with you?
Well, that. But I had no idea. I was like 15 and she was like 37 or something. She tricked me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, don't. You can.
No, it's good.
That's fine.
It's good. I still fancy her, but it's kind of weird to think she's like 70 years old or something there.
She's in her 60s. I've just been doing a thing about women of punk. So not her, but a kind of Viv Albertine from The Slits and that kind of era. So like Susie Sue and people like that. And what's quite brilliant about those women, I think, is that they were quite rebellious in quite a weird time and performed and everything. And then a lot of them just went away, and they went away and they had a relationship, or they were nursing ill partners, or they had kids and stuff. And they've all kind of come back. Mm. So Chrissie Hynde is back. Susie Sue did Meltdown last year.
Yeah.
Debbie Harry is performing. Who's the woman who's in Sonic Youth? Oh, I can't remember her name. But anyway, she was married to Thurston Moore and then discovered he'd been cheating on her for years. The little git. Wow. And she's now doing a kind of art degree. Viv Albertine is back. And all those women, and Patti Smith, when you look at them, I think, you know, speaking as an older woman, I'm not really old, but older, then you know, you're kind of told for a really long time that your route ahead is basically try and make yourself look younger and younger and younger and do things to your face and all those awful things.
Yeah.
And you look at these women and none of them have done any of that.
Yeah,
they look amazing.
Yeah.
And they're performing. So, and they're performing as older women. So they're singing songs. I mean, literally, Viv Albertine has got a song called Confessions of a MILF. And like they're singing about what it's like to be an older woman, which is still quite punk rock, because you don't get many things like that.
They're bloody true to themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, it's quite honestly, they're really great.
I wonder if Avril Lavigne will come back with that when she's older.
You see, Avril Lavigne charges lots of money for people to come and have their photo taken with her, to see her after the show.
And then she didn't touch them, did she?
She sort of stands miles away from them.
They're all frightened of germs, though, kind of Americans, aren't they?
God.
They like, if they literally, there's I can't remember who it is, but some actor. And I know because he went on Lauren Laverne's show as well. And he won't touch touch anyone. So he comes in and everyone's like wanting to shake his hand. And he's like, and just won't touch them.
Yeah.
In case you get some weird British
also,
germs.
Also, you know, there'll be people. People after gigs, I have photos taken with people, which I will touch them and they'll touch me. But people are kind of quite grabby. even to me.
Which bits do they grab?
Well, they kind of have a little.
Do they grab your bum?
They sometimes have grabbed my bum. They've sometimes, you know, they're strokey.
That's the energy you give out.
I stroke some of them, you know. Why not? What's the worst that can happen?
It's so weird because you've been talking about your penis and ejaculating for the hour before. It's so weird that they would feel.
It is. They feel open enough. It's very odd that they feel that I'm open to that, but I'm not. I got offered, as we talked about the other week, I got offered. A woman came up to me and said, "Do you fancy a blowy?" And I thought she was joking. This was after Talking Cock. And then she said, "No, my husband would like to watch me giving you oral sex." And he was there.
I went,
"No, you're right. I'm married now. It's not, you're all right."
And also, you're all right. Like, whether I'm married or not, you're all right, mate.
I don't really want to have to, you know, even if I'd wanted her to do it, which I didn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really want him to be watching.
No.
It would have been slightly weird.
A little bit busy.
You know what? When this is nearly the end of the show and we'll be back. Thank you very much to Miranda. That was lovely.
Fun.
Very interesting.
Oh, yeah, I like the clapping. Can we do more Radio 1 star clapping? Woo! Steve Wright in the afternoon.
Only one person.
We're not too old for a good old clap.
We're back. It's generally, it's our next last show. We're giving up the
FUBAR. We've got one more show
at FUBAR. So we're really going to spill the beans on what's going on behind the scenes here at FUBAR and the real reasons that we're going. So do tune in next week. They could make some massive publicity out of this. I don't know what's wrong with you. Let's just make up some shit. My producer's been touching my bum. it's been all right, but I'm not really that happy about it. So anyway, thank you to Miranda and to Lulu. And we'll see you next time. Here is the LCD sound system. That's not a good name for a band, is it?
Bye.
Bye. See you later. Bye.